in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Make sure you protect your internet activity the same way that I do. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. One of the things that is making people on the left very disquieted at the moment is the fact that there are people on the right who are now looking at executive power and recognizing that perhaps they should not leave the so-called deep state to itself. There's a large-scale article the other day in the New York Times by Thomas Edsel talking about the fact that if Donald Trump were to win in 2024, in 2025, he would begin to clear out the so-called deep state. He'd begin firing a bunch of people inside the executive branch using Schedule F classification, which would essentially say that a bunch of people who are career appointees were actually political policy appointees, making them subject to at-will firing by the top of the executive branch. People on the left were fighting mad over this because, of course, they have essentially salted the entire executive branch of the federal government with people who agree with them, so that when you have somebody who becomes president, George W. Bush, Donald Trump, say Ron DeSantis in the future, when that happens, those people will not be able to get done what they want to get done because all of these supposedly nonpartisan, non-political appointees who are not confirmed by the Senate or career bureaucrats, these people all agree with the left. And so the idea is that they will be able to stymie the worst excesses of the evil Republicans who take over. This obviously was a major obstacle for Donald Trump during his presidency when apparently the entire FBI, or at least large segments of it, were virulently oriented against Trump's entire agenda. So the idea here from Thomas Edsel is this was a danger to democracy and to the republic if Republicans were to start firing people who work for them. Because if you're in the executive branch, everybody who works in the executive branch works for you. Well, Ron DeSantis, who is a potential 2024 presidential nominee on the Republican side of the aisle, all the polls show him within striking distance of Donald Trump at the moment. And we still have a couple of years to go before the actual primaries begin. Well, Ron DeSantis in Florida is demonstrating full scale this particular idea, which is that if there are people who work for your branch and they refuse to actually abide by the laws that you are supposed to enforce, these people should be fired. So controversy has now broken out over the fact that Governor DeSantis has suspended a state prosecutor Thursday for pledges he made to decline prosecuting cases involving violations related to abortion and gender transition treatment. Ron DeSantis said that he had suspended Andrew Warren, a Democrat who served as the top prosecutor for the state's 13th Judicial Circuit in Hillsborough County, which includes Tampa, for neglect of duty. The Republican governor then tapped State Judge Susan Lopez to serve as state attorney during the suspension. The state has 20 state attorneys. Here's Ron DeSantis announcing his firing of Andrew Warren.
The Constitution of Florida has vested the veto power in the governor, not in individual state attorneys. And so when you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty, you have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today we are suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren, effective immediately.
So State Attorney Andrew Warren put out a statement saying it's an illegal overreach that continues a dangerous pattern by Ron DeSantis of using his office to further his own political ambition. It spits in the face of the voters of Hillsborough County who have twice elected me to serve them, not Ron DeSantis. Well, the problem with that, of course, is that if you have a state attorney who simply refuses to prosecute crime, he is not doing his job. Ron DeSantis put out a statement saying that the state constitution does give him the authority to suspend state officials for reasons of malfeasance, misfeasance, neglect of duty, drunkenness, incompetence, permanent inability to perform official duties, or commission of a felony. In fact, according to Robert Jarvis, a professor who teaches Florida constitutional law at Nova Southeastern University's Sheppard Broad College of Law, According to the Wall Street Journal, Florida's constitution gives broad powers to the government to suspend officers such as state attorneys or county sheriffs for almost any reason. In fact, you'll remember that Ron DeSantis suspended former Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel in 2019 for his complete botchery of the Parkland massacre. That authority has been challenged a lot of times. Courts have routinely ruled in favor of the governor. Jarvis said, quote, the Florida Supreme Court has always said the governor has tremendous leeway. There's almost nothing that wouldn't pass muster in terms of suspension. The governor's executive order on Thursday said prosecutors have some discretion over whether to prosecute defendants, but it said that Warren's blanket refusal to enforce criminal law amounted to a veto on state law. And the order cited joint statements signed by Warren regarding potential crimes related to abortion and gender-affirming procedures. Warren had signed a statement, along with a bunch of other elected prosecutors, saying that he would refuse to enforce state abortion laws, saying that he would not prosecute anybody who performed abortions. The joint statement said enforcing abortion bans runs counter to the obligations and interests we are sworn. If you're a state attorney, you have prosecutorial discretion to determine what is a more important case or a less important case. You have the ability to determine whether you want to plea bargain somebody out or whether you want to go to trial. What you don't have the ability to do is simply declare an entire swath of law out of bounds. You are not a legislature. You are not given the power to simply say that you are not going to enforce the law. And this has been a major problem, again, across the country, ranging from California to Florida. Kamala Harris, when she was the Attorney General of the state of California, she single-handedly overruled the will of the people of California in Proposition 8. The people of California voted in 2008 to enshrine traditional marriage in the Constitution of the state of California. This was challenged. It went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and State Attorney General Kamala Harris simply said, I'm not going to defend Proposition 8 in court. And the Ninth Circuit said, since the state is not defending this in court, we are simply going to rule the law out of bounds. That was not her job. It is not the job of the attorney general of the state or of a state's attorney to simply veto laws that are passed by the legislature. So good for Ron DeSantis. And we can only hope that Republicans across the country in positions of executive power take note. Unelected bureaucrats or even elected bureaucrats who are not doing their jobs, who have specifically said that they will not do their jobs, ought to be fired or suspended. This is very simple stuff. The executive branch is not designated to simply ignore the law. And the fact that this is even a remotely controversial proposition is kind of shocking to me. I mean, if you imagine it in reverse, that there is some sort of law on the books that, say, prosecuted people of right-wing bent, and it was on the books, and the attorney general of the state simply said, I'm not going to enforce the law, and a Democrat fired that person. You think anybody in the media would be crying over it? But the question here is what the legislature has passed, not the enforceability of the law. But the courts get to determine whether the executive has to enforce the law, but so long as the judiciary has not struck down the law as violative of the state constitution or the federal constitution, if it goes to federal court, this means the executive actually has a duty to perform under the law. And if you have attorneys general who have taken on the mantle of pretending that they are the governor of a state or the president of the United States, if you're talking about the federal government, well, then you got a real problem on your hands. Warren could choose to appeal his suspension to the state Senate, which would then have 6 months to conduct a trial, according to Jarvis. The Republican-controlled state Senate is unlikely to reverse DeSantis' decision. Warren could also run again in 2024. If he chooses to have a trial in the state Senate, the body could bar him from running again if it ruled against him. So Ron DeSantis, again, demonstrating a new muscularity that I think a lot of Republicans so far have failed to actually understand. And again, I think this is one of the reasons why there are so many Republicans who are warm to DeSantis, even in ways that were not warm to Trump, because there's a baseline level of competence that DeSantis displays at how to run the government. Trump didn't know anything about how to run the government, so he came in and he basically left everybody in place. Well, presumably, if he were elected next time, he wouldn't make that same mistake. But DeSantis knows how to run a government, and that's pretty clear in the state of Florida. Well, meanwhile, the White House has declared monkeypox a public health emergency. The Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra basically went out to the middle of the office and shouted, I have declared a public health emergency. Here he was yesterday.
In light of all of these developments and the evolving circumstances on the ground, I want to make an announcement today that I will be declaring a public health emergency on monkeypox.
Okay, and then Xavier Becerra said to reporters, quote, we are prepared to take our response to the next level in addressing this virus, and we urge every American to take monkeypox seriously. I'm not going to take monkeypox seriously. This idea that everybody is equally vulnerable to monkeypox in the same way that you were vulnerable to COVID is totally crazy. And the fact that the federal government continues to push this line is ridiculous on its face. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said the declaration will provide resources and increase access to care. She said it will also expand the CDC's ability to share data. What it really is mostly about is the PR of saying that you have stood up in favor of people who are getting monkeypox. There's nothing to stand up in favor of. Okay, the CDC already blew it. You were supposed to have the vaccines ready. You didn't have the vaccines ready. Now you're trying to backfill that by making public declarations of angst about monkeypox. But here's one thing the public health officials won't do. tell gay people to stop having promiscuous sex with each other. That is one thing they 100% will not do, because that would violate the tenets of intersectionality. It's amazing. The one thing in life, apparently, you are not, the one behavior you're not allowed to control is where people put their junk. That is the one thing you can't even give them advice about. Even if what you're talking about is not restricting them or prosecuting them, you're just saying, don't put your junk there because you might get a disease. We won't say that because that might be offensive to somebody. We'll shut down your entire life if you're not doing that for COVID, a virus that is extraordinarily unlikely to kill young, healthy people. And we'll shut down all of society. We'll blast $7 trillion into the economy. We'll create 40-year highs in inflation. We'll destroy our future economic growth. We'll do all those things with regard to, because those are things we can request of you, you see. But the one thing we can never request is that gay men not have promiscuous sex with other gay men. That is one thing we absolutely will not do. I'm not saying that. The Washington Post is saying that. According to Finit Nirapil and Amrita Jayakumar, writing for the Washington Post, quote, as monkeypox strikes gay men, officials debate warnings to limit partners. San Francisco, thousands of gay men clad in leather, latex, and often much less, partied along Folsom Street here last weekend during the annual Kink and Fetish Festival. Even after the city had just declared the monkeypox outbreak striking its gay community a health emergency, one day after the WHO urged men to sleep with fewer men to reduce transmission, San Francisco public health officials made no attempt to rein in festivities or warn attendees to have less sex. As the CDC weighs whether to recommend limiting sex partners, health officials in San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and other U.S. cities battling surges disproportionately sickening gay men are avoiding calls for sexual restraint, wary of further stigmatizing same-sex intimacy. You see, here's the thing. People might, what they're worried about is that you might think that widespread promiscuity among gay men is bad. And the way that they're going to show that it's not bad is by allowing widespread promiscuity to happen, spreading monkeypox. Not sure I follow the logic here. I'm pretty sure that the thing that makes people think that, you know, gay orgies are bad is two things. The orgy part of that, and also the spreading of disease part of that. And you guys are like, well, if it spreads disease and it's an orgy, it must be okay. Public health authorities typically emphasize safer sex over abstinence to prevent the spread of diseases through intimate contact, but monkeypox is presenting new challenges in calibrating the right message to stop the rare virus from becoming endemic while limiting government intrusion into the bedroom. See, normally they would just say, well, make sure that you use safe sex practices. The problem is that monkeypox is passed skin to skin. So even if you're using safe sex practices, there's still a decent shot that you're going to pass monkeypox. And you wouldn't want to tell people to simply relegate their bedroom activities to one intimate partner. You wouldn't tell people that abstinence might be a solution. I remain bewildered by the idea in modern Western civilization that abstinence is somehow a taboo. In virtually all human societies for most of human history, you were expected to have sex within the confines of marriage. And yet this is somehow now considered so verboten that for you to say, not only you should have, we're not even talking like heterosexual sex within the confines of marriage here. We're just talking about have sex with one person, right? That's all we're saying. And like, nope, sorry, we can't do that. We can't do that. Anything that suggests that you can't have sex with whomever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, anything that does that is a form of puritanism that cannot be abided, even if it prevents the spread of monkeypox. California State Senator Scott Wiener, I didn't name him, who's involved in the city's monkeypox response, said, quote, if people want to have sex, they are going to have sex. I know people who normally go to sex parties who will not. People will make their own decisions about their own risk levels. Scott Wiener. Okay, so I have another quote from Scott Wiener that I think is worthwhile. Scott Wiener called for a full national mask mandate. So you and your small children should be forced to wear a piece of cloth over your face because of COVID, regardless of what the data show on the ability to pass COVID with or without a mask. You still have to wear a mask. It's very important forever. Wear a mask, national mask mandate. But you can't tell people not to have random promiscuous sex with other people they don't know. That is a bridge too far, man. If you tell them to take that piece of cloth and put it a little lower down, then it's a problem. You put it on your face, that we can tell you to do. We tell you to put it on your junk, that we definitely cannot tell you to do. More than 6,600 cases of monkeypox have been detected in the United States, prompting the Biden administration to declare a public health emergency to galvanize awareness. I'm pretty sure we're all aware. In fact, I feel like I'm significantly more aware of monkeypox than I need to be, given my personal behavioral profile here. Heterosexual married man with three kids. I'm pretty sure that my awareness of monkeypox vastly outpaces the chances of me obtaining monkeypox. The virus primarily spreads through the exposure of an infected person's rashes or lesions. This is the first outbreak in which contact during sex appears to be the significant driver. Infections are heavily concentrated among men who have sex with men. Again, I am enjoying the media's reframing of this conversation. So when gay men predominantly get a sexually, what seems to be a disease that is largely transmitted through sex, we won't say gay men. We'll say men who have sex with men to prevent you from thinking that men who have sex with men are typically gay, which I thought was the definition. Many public health officials and activists who spent decades on the front lines of the battle against HIV/AIDS say they have learned it is futile to tell people to have less sex. You can't do it. You can't tell people ever to have less sex. It's futile. Shut down your businesses? Sure. Never go outside again? Absolutely. Wrap your head 3 times in duct tape? 100%. But don't screw randos? No, we cannot do this. This stance puts them at odds with the WHO. A top New York epidemiologist who condemned the city's messaging and others within the gay community who say gay men deserve direct warnings before it is too late to end the outbreak. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate is estimated to be upwards of 10%. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation, and the name to know is Noble Gold. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up more on the public health establishment's very difficult decision-making. Are they allowed to tell gay people to stop having orgies in the middle of a monkeypox epidemic? It might be discriminatory. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Join the Cascade Theater for an energy-packed show with Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue on August 6th. Packed with funk, soul, R&B, and psychedelic rock, Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue is sure to provide an exhilarating evening packed with a strong rhythm section, hip-hop beats, and bright flashes of brass with hard rock energy. Don't miss this fun night with Trombone Shorty at the Cascade Theater on August 6th. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or 243-8877.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Axiom Children's Theater invites you to journey under the sea with Ariel and her aquatic friends in Disney's The Little Mermaid Jr. Adapted from Disney's Broadway production and motion picture featuring the enormously popular Academy Award winning music and lyrics. Don't miss The Little Mermaid Jr. July 28th through the 30th at Axiom Repertory Theater. 2613 Bocelli Lane in Reading. Get your tickets now at the box office or online at axreftheater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is a sad truth that the public health experts, they're having a very tough time telling gay dudes not to have sex with like 100 gay dudes in the dark. Dan Savage, sex columnist, who has criticized the public health response, says, quote, "It was devaluing gay men's lives and health not to warn gay men. Now here we are really on the verge of monkeypox being endemic in gay communities all over the world. How is that for stigma?" Savage says public health officials should have advised gay men to curb their sex lives at the start of the outbreak. Again, Dan Savage is not an advocate of chastity. Dan Savage is a very, very, very left-wing columnist and sex advice person who has, for a very long time, been very much in favor of promiscuous sex. So when Dan Savage is saying it, when Dan Savage and I are saying the same thing, I'm pretty sure it's not about the stigma anymore, guys. It's about you guys are so crazy in your attempts to, quote-unquote, destigmatize particular forms of sex that you are willing to overlook the spread of disease. I love this. Savage is taking his own advice, limiting sex to his husband and his boyfriend. And skipping San Francisco's Door Alley Festival this year. Well, you know, we all have our moral limits. A dozen Door Alley attendees interviewed by the Washington Post said they took monkeypox seriously without the government scolding them to do so. Many revelers kept their clothes on or donned full latex outfits inside crowded bars. One man sheathed himself in a monkeypox-inspired costume, a clear plastic rain suit over a rainbow outfit decorated with white polka dots he said he wore to make a statement about the importance of avoiding skin-to-skin contact. Several said they planned to avoid casual sex at after-parties. Attendance was down by thousands compared with previous years. A 30-year-old festival regular, who spoke on the condition he'd be identified only by his nickname, Oni, citing privacy concerns, said he was being more cautious this year, especially given his day job as a massage therapist. Oh, no. Yeah. Sporting a black leather and chain corset, lace-up mid-calf boots, chartreuse face paint, and a small set of horns, Oni said he didn't plan to have sex and had received the monkeypox vaccine weeks earlier. He left as the festival became more crowded and skipped the bars entirely. For the time being, he said, no darkroom sex parties, no orgies. For the time being. Because you would never want to stigmatize this stuff in normal times. This is also part that's hilarious, is that we're supposed to pretend that all of this activity is actually morally good as long as you're not passing disease. It turns out, you know what's bad for people? Genuinely promiscuous sex parties. These are not good for people's souls. They're not good for people's bodies. They are not good. The fact that this is becoming a controversial statement demonstrates that our society has basically fallen into the maw of hell. That's an insane reality. That if I say to you, don't have sex with 100 people in a dark room that you don't know, that you're doing something wrong for yourself and for society. People are like, how dare you, sir? How dare you? My sex life is just as fulfilling and rich and filled with soulfulness as anyone else's. Then you wonder why people are having trouble condemning the behavior. Instead of shutting down Door Alley, San Francisco officials focused on disseminating information about how the virus spreads to help people make their own choices. I'm glad they've become, again, when it came to getting the vax for COVID, not your own choice. Masks, not your own choice. Mandates. Here, make your own decision, gang. At the street festival itself, warnings about monkeypox were hard to find. Only one of the attendees interviewed said he received an informational pamphlet about the virus, even as organizers checked for proof of COVID vaccinations. They were checking, make sure you didn't have COVID so you didn't spread it. But then they were like, well, you know, there is this other thing. We're not going to talk about that. It's too awkward. Public health authorities worry about placing too much emphasis on sex as a mode of transmission because monkeypox also spreads in other ways. I mean, statistically, not so much. It's spreading a little bit in other ways, but not like this. Xanth Bryan, sexual health and prevention program manager for the Washington State Health Department, said urging people to have less sex unfairly places the onus on individuals to end the outbreak and distracts from other potential sources of transmission, such as dancing in packed clubs. Approaching it from a purely sexually transmitted infection standpoint doesn't really meet the challenge, said Bryant. No, again, you know what is another behavior that you don't have to engage in is dancing in crowded clubs. Like, these are, we can't count on individuals to prevent monkeypox, but it's up to you whether COVID stops an endemic virus that is airborne. Amazing. In New York City, a top epidemiologist at the health department has publicly criticized agency leadership for not urging men who have sex with men to abstain from anonymous sex for several weeks. Again, they're not even saying, like, do it forever. Like, just for a few weeks, guys. Can you cut out the chains? For 14 days or so? Well, we can't say that. Amazing that this is controversial, and yet randomly it is, because sexual identity takes precedence over everything up to and including biology and or the spread of disease. So public health emergency declared by the White House, I know that you feel much more safe now. Alrighty, coming up, crisis over Taiwan increases. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
You about ready for school, son?
That's okay, Mom. Dad's dropping me off.
Why?
Because Dad's ride looks awesome after the new paint job from Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center. They also took out that huge scratch and dent.
I took Dad's car to Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive.
Oh, okay. It looks sick.
Sick?
Mom, sick means cool.
Sick.
It sounds weird when you say it.
Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call today for your free estimate. 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Join the Cascade Theater for an energy-packed show with Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue on August 6th. Packed with funk, soul, R&B, and psychedelic rock, Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue is sure to provide an exhilarating evening packed with a strong rhythm section, hip-hop beats, and bright flashes of brass with hard rock energy. Don't miss this fun night with Trombone Shorty at the Cascade Theater on August 6th. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or 243-8877.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Driving around in a dirty car can impair your visibility, and removing the dirt from your vehicle is essential in keeping you safe. That's why you need to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Here's a few safety tips from Quick and Clean. Clear up the clutter by keeping a trash bag in your vehicle. Keep your phone charger in the center console, grocery bags in the seat back pocket, and an emergency kit in the trunk. Just a few safety tips from Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So China is ratcheting up tensions over Taiwan in the aftermath of Nancy Pelosi's visit. The idea here was that she was going to demonstrate solidarity with Taiwan, and China immediately started conducting precision missile strikes in the waters off Taiwan's coast as part of military exercises, raising tensions in the region to their highest level in decades. According to the Associated Press, China earlier announced that military exercises by its Navy, Air Force, and other departments were underway in six zones surrounding Taiwan, which Beijing claims is its own territory to be annexed by force if necessary. Five of the missiles fired by China landed in Japan's exclusive economic zone off Hatoruma, an island far south of Japan's main islands, according to the Japanese defense minister. He said Japan protested missile landings to China as, quote, serious threats to Japan's national security and the safety of the Japanese people. Japan's defense ministry speculated that four missiles flew directly over Taipei, the capital city, crossing over the mainland and hitting on the other side of Taiwan. Taiwan's defense ministry did not deny the claim, saying the flight path was, quote, outside the atmosphere, is not harmful to the vast area on the ground it flies over. So they're saying, well, yeah, it overflew the island, but it was very high up, so you wouldn't really even have noticed it. It would just seem like kind of a plane, right? I mean, it's very high. That said, the purpose there is to demonstrate, which they need to demonstrate because pure geography tells you, that Taiwan is under the missile umbrella of China. The drills were prompted by a visit to Taiwan by Nancy Pelosi. China fired long-range explosive projectiles. The Eastern Theater Command of the People's Liberation Army, the ruling Communist Party's military wing, said in a statement. It also said it carried out multiple conventional missile launches in three different areas in the eastern waters off of Taiwan. The Eastern Theater said, quote, all missiles hit the target accurately. U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby condemned the launches. He said China has chosen to overreact and use the speaker's visit as a pretext to increase provocative military action in and around the Taiwan Strait. We will not be deterred from operating in the seas and skies of the Western Pacific, consistent with international law, as we have for decades, supporting Taiwan and defending a free and open Indo-Pacific. Meanwhile, by the way, as I mentioned yesterday, the Biden administration is actively urging Congress not to pass more aid for Taiwan, which demonstrates, I think, the lack of willingness of this administration to face up to the challenge that is happening there right now. The Biden administration is unwilling to ship $4.6 billion in military technology to Taiwan. But we will send you an elderly woman who will tell you about solidarity. So that is very exciting stuff. Meanwhile, China is ratcheting up tensions. China has got to feel like we got to go soon. I mean, this is one of the big problems here, is that when you ratchet up the tensions with the rhetoric while simultaneously ratcheting down the tensions with your actions, China sees that as weakness. It would be surprising if sometime in the next few years China did not at least attempt an invasion of Taiwan, given the fact that if Joe Biden were to not be president, that response would go very, very differently. Meanwhile, massive controversy breaking out in Russia. The WNBA's Brittany Griner was convicted Thursday in Russia of drug possession and smuggling and sentenced to 9 years behind bars in a politically charged case that could lead to a high-stakes prisoner exchange between Washington and Moscow, according to the Associated Press. The 31-year-old Griner, two-time U.S. Olympic champion, eight-time All-Star with the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury, listened with a blank expression as an interpreter translated the verdict by Judge Anna Sotnikova. Her lawyer said she was very upset. Griner was fined 1 million rubles, is about $17,000. Outside the court, the U.S. Embassy Chargé d'Affaires Elizabeth Rood called the outcome a miscarriage of justice. She's been detained since February 17th after the police said they found vape cartridges containing cannabis oil in her luggage upon landing in Moscow's airport. She was returning to Russia, where she has competed since 2014. The 9-year sentence was close to the maximum of 10 years Griner had faced under the charges. Most Russians possessing small quantities of drugs get at most 5 years in prison. Griner apologized to her family, teammates, and the Russian city of Yekaterinburg, where she plays in the WNBA offseason. Here she was apologizing
yesterday. I want to apologize to my teammates, my club, Gemka, the fans, and the city of DCAT. My mistake that I made and the embarrassment that I brought on to them. I want to also apologize to my parents, my siblings, my Phoenix Mercury organization back at home, the amazing women of the WNBA,
and my amazing spouse back at home. I never meant to hurt anybody. I never meant to put in jeopardy the Russian population. I never meant to break any laws here. I made an honest mistake, and I hope that in your ruling that it doesn't end my life here.
Okay, so the idea that Russia is prosecuting her for bringing a fairly small amount of drugs into the country obviously raises political questions. Does this mean that she's a political prisoner in the same way that say, many other people in Russia are political prisoners? Seems doubtful to me. She did, in fact, violate drug law. She is not a person who's being put in jail because of her politics. The idea here from the United States, presumably, is that she is being held by the Russians as a sort of bargaining chip. But again, the reality of Brittany Griner as compared with some of the other Americans who are being detained is not quite the same thing. So Brittany Griner is not the only person who's being held in custody over what would be minor charges. There's another person whose name is Whelan, who has been arrested in Russia as well. He was arrested for the crime of apparently resisting arrest after some sort of drunken brawl with the cops. As Paul Whelan, he's been imprisoned in Russia on an espionage conviction, which again is, that one seems pretty wild. Like, I'm not sure where the case is for espionage. The Biden administration, nonetheless, has been talking about actually trading active arms dealers to the Russians to get back Griner and Whelan. That seems like a massive mistake. I mean, trading away actively dangerous criminals for people who have committed minor drug crimes or resisting arrest crimes in Russia. The question as to whether that's in America's interest. I mean, there's no question that Griner actually committed the crime. I mean, she said that she committed the crime. It doesn't mean that Russia isn't discriminating against her or attempting to use her as a political pawn. But it is to suggest that this is not quite the same thing as a pure political prisoner situation. Griner's agent Lindsay Kawaga-Kola said the sentence was severe by Russian legal standards and goes to prove what we have known all along. Brittany is being used as a political pawn. A conviction is usually needed before arranging a prisoner exchange and also allows Griner to apply for a pardon. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said last month the necessary judicial procedures must be completed before other steps can be taken. The U.S. State Department had earlier declared Griner to be wrongfully detained, a charge that Russia has sharply rejected. She said that she pled guilty, by the way, on the charges against her. She had no intention of breaking any Russian law. Griner described a confusing scene while being held at the airport, saying an interpreter provided by authorities translated only a fraction of what was being said to her and that officials told her to sign documents without explaining what they were. She said she was not informed of her rights. Her lawyers introduced evidence that Griner was using medical cannabis for chronic pain and injuries sustained during her career, included a letter from her doctor. Griner said she knew the cannabis oil was outlawed in Russia and had not intended to break the law or plan to smuggle anything into Russia. But of course, she did smuggle something into Russia. Again, I mention here that the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, has said that Washington has offered to trade away a convicted Russian arms dealer named Viktor Bout for both Whelan and Griner. Russian media have speculated that Griner could be swapped for Bout, nicknamed the Merchant of Death. He is serving a 25-year sentence in the United States after being convicted of conspiracy to kill American citizens and provide aid to a terrorist organization. Russia has agitated for Bout's release for years. That seems like a bad swap to me. You're talking about trading away a guy who actually was convicted of terrorism and attempts to aid and abet terrorism for a basketball player who knew that she was bringing an illegal drug into Russia. Joe Biden put out a statement saying, quote, "Today, American citizen Brittany Griner received a prison sentence that is one more reminder of what the world already knew. Russia is wrongfully detaining Brittany. It's unacceptable. I call on Russia to release her immediately so she can be with her wife, loved ones, friends, and teammates. My administration will work to tirelessly and pursue every possible avenue to bring Brittany and Paul Whelan home safely as soon as possible." Now, here's the thing. There are actually people who are being detained in Russia for political purposes, and you don't know their names. You know Brittany Griner's name because she's a basketball player in a league that nobody watches, but you don't know some of the names of people like Vladimir Kara-Murza. And he's a Washington Post contributing columnist who happens to be anti-Putin. According to the Washington Post editorial board, he was arrested in Moscow in April on a sham charge of disobeying the police, then indicted on a charge of public dissemination of knowingly false information about the Russian military. Now, Kara-Murza's lawyer says the authorities are preparing yet another bogus charge, this time for participating in a non-governmental organization deemed undesirable in Russia under a law first approved in 2015. Kara-Murza still hasn't been indicted on the charge. His lawyers said they know little more, but they know the method. In an endless carousel of arbitrary prosecutions, the same approach has been employed to unjustly imprison Alexei Navalny, Russia's most prominent opposition figure, and most recently, Ilya Yashin, an opposition leader accused of spreading false information about the military, reportedly for discussing on his YouTube channel the killing of civilians in Bucha, Ukraine, by Russian troops. On July 8th, a Moscow court sentenced local politician Alexei Goranov to 7 years in prison under the same provision. Barnoff said in court, I'm convinced this war is the fastest route to dehumanization. When the line between good and evil is blurred, war is always violence and blood, torn bodies and severed limbs. It's always death. I do not accept this and reject it. Andrei Soldatov and Irina Baragan, Russian journalists who have written often in foreign affairs, say that the Federal Security Service, or SSB, has been turned into far more expansive arm of the increasingly ruthless state. There have been over 16,400 detentions of people taking a stance against the war in Ukraine since it began. But we're supposed to focus all of our ire on the detention of a basketball player who plays in Russia apparently every year and brought drugs into the country. Like, two things can be true at once. Russia is detaining this person for far too long. And also, why are we trading arms dealers for a person who commits drug crimes in Russia? This does not seem like the best available deal. Alrighty, meanwhile, California's Gavin Newsom is attempting to draw Hollywood back into the state. So Hollywood is sort of misnamed at this point. A huge amount of production happens outside of Hollywood because of union rules, because it's very expensive to produce material in California for years and years and years. There's been a lot of production happening in Europe, in Vancouver, in states like Georgia. Well, now Gavin Newsom in California is trying to draw people back to Hollywood with a double-pronged approach. That's more on this in just one second. First, I've had my Helix Sleep mattress for years. I love it. It's just great. And the reason I love it is because it's made just for me. It was super easy to order. We took that two-minute sleep quiz. It came directly to us. We unboxed it, inflated right in front of us, popped it on the bed frame. Good to go. Helix Sleep has a quiz. It takes just 2 minutes to complete. It matches your body type and sleep preference to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everybody is unique. Helix knows that. They have several different mattress models to choose from. They've got soft, medium, firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. Mattress is great for spinal alignment, prevent morning aches and pains, even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. I took the Helix quiz, and I was matched with a particular mattress that is firm but really, really breathable. I tend to sleep on my stomach, so I need it firm, and also I tend to heat up at night. If you're looking for a mattress made just for you, go to helixsleep.com/Ben. Take their two-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. 10-year warranty. Try it out for 100 nights risk-free, so you got nothing to lose. For a limited time, Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. This is their best offer yet. Hurry on over to helixsleep.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, Gavin Newsom, governor of California. He's not doing an amazing job, but he's going to try and bully a bunch of Hollywood studios into putting their production back into Hollywood. How? Well, abortion, of course. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Hey everyone, Kevin Cry here. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new radio show every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We'll be talking about everything Shasta County, family, work, recreation, and the topics most important to all of us living here in the Great North State. We'll have roundtable discussions and different guests every week to share with all of you what is going on in Shasta County. Join me, Kevin Cry, every Tuesday right here from 6 to 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
1550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there's not a lot to recommend California as a place to do business. So Gavin Newsom has to use what he can. So he's using abortion. His state has become a place that people flee. I know because I fled it with my company. The taxes are too high. The homeless population is enormous. Quality of living has gone down. And so now he's just trying to posture in the hopes that eventually Democrats will allow him to run for president. So he put out a statement yesterday. And you tell the difference between California and Florida. Right? He's running ads in Florida trying to proclaim that California is the land of freedom. Free for abortion is pretty much what he means by that. California is the land of homelessness and abortion. So that's exciting stuff from California Governor Gavin Newsom. He put out a statement yesterday telling Hollywood to come home. He's offering a massive new tax break for Hollywood. Something like $1.6 billion in tax breaks for the companies to start producing in Hollywood again. And the fact that Hollywood stopped producing in Hollywood is a pretty good demonstration that Hollywood is horribly run in terms of, like, the government. Governor Gavin Newsom put out a statement saying, Hollywood, your values, your choice. California is the best place in America to create. If that were true, then people wouldn't be fleeing it, you know, hand over fist. For 100 years, he says, we've been the home for storytelling and storytellers. Together, we built a creative community that includes unrivaled cast, crews, craftspeople, infrastructure, and technology, robust tax credits, and other incentives. The best culture. Together, you didn't do anything, dude. Like, nothing. Most importantly, we share your values, so now it's time to choose. Over the past several years, the legislatures of states like Georgia and Oklahoma have waged cruel assault on essential rights. Now, in the wake of Supreme Court's abhorrent decision overturning Roe v. Wade, those same states are quickly moving to strip reproductive freedom. As you know, their attacks are not incurring in secret. The harm they inflict is not the result of mere carelessness. On the contrary, they're carrying out these attacks brazenly and with the intent to cause pain in the communities they target, many of whom are essential to the success of your industry. Again, the emotivism of the left here is so astonishing. The idea here is that if you oppose the right-wing agenda, it's because the right wants to hurt you and is cruel and vicious. Not that they actually have arguments on abortion that disagree with your own. They're bad people. That's what Gavin Newsom is saying right there. Today, more than ever, he says, you have a responsibility to take stock of your values and those of your employees when doing business in those states. He's trying to values shame Hollywood. Good luck with that. That has not worked well in the past. California is a freedom state, says Gavin Newsom, who forced production to shut down in the state of California for a year. Freedom to tell your stories. Freedom to access the health services you need, including abortion. Freedom to love who you love and to ensure your LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign friends, family, and colleagues can proudly be who they are. Freedom from repressive state governments that want to tell you what to believe and threaten you with felonies if you don't toe their line. Does the man own a mirror? Repressive state governments that tell you what to believe? I mean, California is putting laws on the books that force your kindergartner to learn about gender theory. So I'm pretty sure that he is talking about California. And he says, to those in power to make decisions about where to film, where to hire, where to open new offices, we in California say, walk the walk. Choose freedom. Choose creativity. Choose California. So, ironically, Gavin Newsom is now running against Hollywood. So the accusation was that Ron DeSantis was running against Disney when Disney decided to butt its nose into gender theory being taught to kindergartners. And Ron DeSantis is like, well, if you're going to do that, then, you know, there are a bunch of special tax breaks that you guys get. You don't really need to be involved in this issue. That's just the way it works. Well, now Gavin Newsom is like, I'm going to cudgel you into bringing your business home, or I will attack you as insufficiently woke. Now, here's the problem. Now, Hollywood gets to play a game here that they care more about their woke morality than they do about money. But it turns out that that only applies when the economy is going gangbusters. When they start to experience business difficulties, they too are subject to the dictates of the market. It turns out half the American population does not agree with the wokeness of Hollywood, which is one reason you would imagine why Batgirl has now been scrapped. So Warner Brothers spent $90 million to make a movie of Batgirl. Batgirl in the comic books is Barbara Gordon, the daughter of Commissioner Gordon. She's paralyzed in the comics at a certain point, and then she's unparalyzed. In any case, she is Batgirl. And the movie was supposed to be sort of a woke bonanza, according to pretty much everybody who had seen it. The movie was apparently so bad that they just killed it. They're like, we're not even going to distribute it. We'll take the tax write-off. You know how bad a movie has to be to spend $90 million on it and then you don't even release it? That has to be a pretty damned terrible movie. Tom Leonard, writing for the Daily Mail, he says, Batgirl, an apparently woke big-budget film featuring a female version of the Caped Crusader, has been ignominiously scrapped, shocking the film world. Condemned as irredeemable by studio executives at Warner Brothers, it seems that not even a lengthy spell in the editing room could rescue it. Nor was it good enough to send straight to video, as used to be said of films too bad for the cinema. It may be the most expensive film ever made that will never see the light of day. The film had got as far as test screenings and was being slated for release in cinemas and on the U.S. streaming service HBO Max by the end of the year, but audience feedback was so awful that Warner Brothers has decided the reputational damage of releasing such a dud would be even worse than wasting the tens of millions of bucks it has already spent on it. It just didn't work, said an insider. Given the low standard of so much of the content on Netflix, Amazon Prime, and other streaming services, this represents a jaw-dropping failure. Some have alleged the film may have been scrapped rather than released for tax purposes. Warner Brothers can now claim Batgirl as a tax write-off, helping it recoup some of its costs elsewhere. But that doesn't really account for why the film was so bad in the first place. There are certainly strong clues to suggest Batgirl was only the latest in a long and disastrous line of Hollywood films that have prioritized politically correct values over entertainment. The star of the film was a little-known Afro-Latina singer-actress named Leslie Grace. That was a risk because she never really made a big movie outside of In the Heights, which was a massive commercial flop. Apparently, Michael Keaton was going to reprise his role as Batman. J.K. Simmons was going to be Batgirl's father, Commissioner Gordon. That's a pretty good cast. The film was directed by Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fla, a young Moroccan-Belgian best known for the TV series Ms. Marvel, another sort of woke comic book. Batgirl's screenplay was by Christina Dodds Hodson, a British writer of ultra-feminist film Birds of Prey. Also, Batgirl featured a trans character, Barbara Gordon's flatmate, played by the trans actor Ivory Aquino. So apparently the film just sucked, and so they shelved it instead. So this is why the attempt to sort of shame everybody into coming back to Hollywood based on the morality of their ridiculous left-wing woke precepts, it's going to not happen, because eventually the market speaks. And Gavin Newsom, again, driving production back to California by telling people that if you love abortion, you have to do your production in California. That's not going to work. It turns out the Warner Brothers would rather produce someplace where they don't have to pay exorbitant tax rates and deal with the unions in quite the same way. Meanwhile, speaking of the economy, U.S. jobless claims rose last week to a near high for the year. You're starting to see the effects of those interest rates creeping up. This is a predictable effect. Okay, so this part was expected. When you increase the interest rates, then you're going to exacerbate recessionary forces. Everybody knows this. According to the Wall Street Journal, worker filings for unemployment benefits rose last week, holding close to the highest level of the year as the U.S. labor market showed several signs of cooling. Initial jobless claims, a proxy for layoffs, increased slightly to a seasonally adjusted 260,000 last week from a downwardly revised 254,000 the prior week. The total is close to the 2022 peak set earlier in July of 261,000 and above the 2019 pre-pandemic weekly average of 218,000 when the labor market also was strong. The modest pickup in claims suggests turnover may be increasing in weaker firms that are struggling with slowing growth, said Jefferies economists Thomas Simons and Anita Markowska. They added seasonal adjustments could be playing a role in the elevated jobless claims. Meanwhile, mortgage rates have dropped below 5% for the first time since April, which, again, is demonstrative of a cooling real estate market. According to the Wall Street Journal, mortgage rates dropped to their lowest level since April, offering a reprieve to prospective home buyers who have been hit this year with higher rates and surging prices. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.99% this week, down from 5.30% a week earlier, according to a survey by mortgage giant Freddie Mac. Mortgage rates and other measures of the cost of borrowing tend to rise and fall with expectations about the trajectory of the economy. Recently, fears the U.S. is heading into a downturn had lowered expectations of the pace of rate rises. Until the past year, rising mortgage rates had been a key factor driving up the cost of home buying this year, adding hundreds of dollars or more to buyers' monthly payments. Sales of previously owned homes fell for a fifth straight month in June, according to the most recent data from the National Association of Realtors. So you're starting to see a cool down in the real estate market. So here comes the rest of the recession. Right? We've already gotten the inflationary portion of the recession. We've already gotten wages being eaten up by the inflation. Now come the other effects, a cooling real estate market, an increase in joblessness. None of this is particularly shocking. Again, it was all expected. Meanwhile, the Bank of England abroad has pursued the biggest rate increase since 1995 as inflation soars. The rate increase to 1.75% from 1.25% was the largest since 1995. The move mirrors recent rate hikes by the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, reflecting fears the longer inflation is allowed to persist, the harder it will be to bring down. The Bank of England offered a particularly bleak outlook for the UK, saying the economy was poised to enter a recession that would last for five consecutive quarters, starting in the final 3 months of this year, a downturn as long as the one that followed the financial crisis, but not as deep. So they're now expecting, again, over a year of recession in the UK. It added that inflation would continue to rise well above its current four-decade high, and that household income would fall sharply. So the UK is looking forward to a recession as well. It turns out that you can't spend endlessly during a pandemic and then not pay the price on the other end. And that is precisely what is happening right now. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstrom. Earlier today, Indiana lawmakers became the first in the country to approve legislation restricting abortion access, that is, since the Supreme Court ruling overturned Roe v. Wade. China says it's canceling or suspending dialogue with the U.S. on a range of issues in retaliation for a visit this week by Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan. But the House Speaker says her trip was not meant to provoke Beijing.
We have said from the start that our representation here is not about changing the status quo here in Asia, changing the status quo of Taiwan. It's about, again, the Taiwan Relations Act, the U.S.-China policy, all of the pieces of legislation and agreements that have established what our relationship is.
More travel headaches for tens of thousands of flyers on the East Coast. Thunderstorms forcing the cancellation of more than 1,100 domestic flights by mid-afternoon today. The highest number of canceled flights at three major airports in New York, JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark, and at Reagan National outside of Washington, D.C. In Dallas, CPAC 2022 continues over the weekend, attracting conservative activists from America and around the world. Talk show host and author Todd Starn says attendees are getting the marching orders this weekend.
These are the big issues. We're talking about crime in America, George Soros and these district attorneys. Those are the issues that were on the ballot in Tennessee, and those are going to be on the ballot nationwide. So we've got to get out the vote. That's going to be the heart of my message here, is that we've got to fight like our country depends on it, because it does.
Campaigning in Wisconsin today, President Trump, former President Trump, that is, delivers the keynote address tomorrow afternoon. News and analysis at townhall.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-690-4040. That's 1-800-690-4040. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-690-4040. That's 1-800-690-4040.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Citing evidence of community spread, New York State officials, health officials, are upping their call for residents to get vaccinated against polio.
They're describing it as the tip of the iceberg. In a statement, New York Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett warns residents that for every one case of paralytic polio observed, there may be hundreds of other people infected. Bassett is urging the community to get inoculated to keep from suffering the fate of an unvaccinated young adult who developed paralysis, the first person known to be infected with polio in the U.S. in nearly a decade. Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo is an epidemiologist with Brown University.
This is not the first vaccine-preventable illness we've actually seen in Rockland County. Just before the pandemic, there was a very large measles outbreak in Rockland County, also due to low vaccine coverage.
Infected people can have no symptoms but still transmit the polio virus, which can cause paralysis and even death. I'm Jennifer King.
More breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Here's a look at Friday business with John Scott.
Stocks are closing mostly lower. That's after new data on the hot U.S. jobs market, suggesting that the Fed won't soon rein in its aggressive rate hikes. Employers unexpectedly accelerated their hiring last month and added hundreds of thousands more jobs than forecast. While the data suggests the economy may not be in a recession, it also undercuts investor hopes that inflation may be close to peaking.
The Dow finished the week 76 points higher at 32,803. The NASDAQ ended on a red note, down 63 points, 12,657, while the S&P 500 lost 6 at 4,145. New York oil gaining 47 cents, ending the week at $89 and a penny a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, the DOJ has now announced, shock of shocks, it is going after a police department. The DOJ has been very lax on going after, you know, actual criminality, but they are cracking down on police departments across the country in line with the equity provisions of the Biden administration's policy. That means the DOJ is going after the Louisville Police Department over Breonna Taylor. It'll be fascinating to see what evidence they produced that an actual federal crime was committed here when none of the officers in this case were actually charged or convicted of an actual state crime. So you remember that this was a widely publicized police incident in Louisville, Kentucky, during which Breonna Taylor was killed during a late-night raid of her apartment in Kentucky. The DOJ has now announced a series of federal charges on Thursday against four of the officers involved in the operation that set off racial justice protests around the country. Federal prosecutors accused three officers of knowingly including false information in an affidavit used to justify the raid, and a fourth officer of firing blindly into Taylor's apartment from outside, sending bullets flying into a unit next door where an unsuspecting family slept. The indictments unsealed on Thursday do not charge either of the two white officers who shot Ms. Taylor, a black 26-year-old emergency room technician whose former boyfriend the police were investigating for possibly selling drugs. The charges are the most aggressive effort yet to hold police officers accountable in a case that has become a rallying cry for BLM. Again, the case of Breonna Taylor has been widely misreported by the media. What actually happened in the Breonna Taylor case is that there was, in fact, a no-knock raid scheduled. The officers were told to knock. They knocked. Breonna Taylor's boyfriend was inside the apartment. He knew it was the police, apparently. He started firing through the door. They fired back. He was essentially hiding behind Breonna Taylor, and she got shot. That is the actual story here. And yet this is now being portrayed as though they broke into the apartment and blindly started spraying bullets for no reason, scaring Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, causing him to shoot back at them, and then they shot Breonna Taylor in the crossfire. The officer accused of firing into Taylor's apartment, Brett Hackison, has been tried and acquitted on state charges of endangering her neighbors, the only officer to have faced charges until now. None had been charged. What prosecutors say was the use of false information to obtain the search warrant that authorized officers to burst into Taylor's home as she slept next to her new boyfriend. The police used a battering ram to force their way through the door of the apartment shortly after midnight on March 13th, 2020. Taylor's boyfriend, who feared they were intruders, fired a shot that struck one of the officers in the leg. By the way, I love that the New York Times is just reporting one side of the story here. Feared they were intruders? Apparently, they announced multiple times they were the police. Three officers returned fire, spraying the apartment with more than 30 bullets, six of which struck Ms. Taylor. She was pronounced dead at the scene. I noticed that this little recounting of the incident, according to the New York Times, doesn't include the part where a cop was shot and nearly bled out. That, of course, would be Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, who has written a book for Daily Wire Publishing, essentially telling you exactly what happened. His book, 12 Seconds in the Dark, a police officer's firsthand account of the Breonna Taylor raid, is available for sale right now and tells the entire story. Merrick Garland said Breonna Taylor should be alive today. He said the officer's false statements on the search warrant affidavit had set in motion the events that led to Ms. Taylor's death. Now, first of all, I'm just going to point out here that Merrick Garland seems to have very different standards when it comes to the information you put in affidavits trying to obtain warrants. I noticed that he has not prosecuted anybody for the false information that was put in FISA warrants with regard to Carter Page. He knows he's been prosecuted for that, I've noticed. But here, he is prosecuting these police officers. Again, none of this would have happened if the Breonna Taylor's boyfriend had not been firing at the cops. That is what led off the entire exchange of gunfire. The Justice Department has been investigating the Louisville PD for more than a year, reviewing complaints of the regular use of unreasonable force and whether police officers who break the department's rules are held accountable. The indictments announced on Thursday could result in the first criminal penalties against the officers involved, two of whom have been fired, with the other two recommended for firing. They fell short of public demands during the months of protests to prosecute the two officers who shot and killed Taylor. Garland noted none of the officers who carried out the raid had been aware the warrant they were executing had been based on false claims. Prosecuting the two officers who shot Taylor could be difficult, said some legal analysts, because they were returning fire. Ms. Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, said the federal charges vindicated her longstanding claim the police had no right to enter her daughter's home. Well, there's only one problem. Okay, what the actual data tends to show in this case is that the police had good information to suggest that that apartment was being used as a stash house for drugs and cash. And in fact, after the police cleared out the place, according to Sergeant Mattingly, there was a move by the boyfriend who'd been shot to basically clear out the apartment and make sure that the drugs and the cash weren't there when they came back for the actual search. A judge had initially signed off on a no-knock warrant for entering Taylor's apartment. Officers were later instructed to knock and identify themselves. Okay, so now the New York Times, buried down in paragraph 1 million of this story, tells the truth. They did identify themselves. None of the officers had activated the body cameras. While officers said they had announced themselves as police, Ms. Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, said he and Taylor heard no response when they asked who was at the door. What makes Kenneth Walker particularly believable? He has a fairly substantial criminal history, from what I understand. The federal indictments followed a separate investigation by Kentucky's Attorney General Daniel Cameron, a Republican, which resulted in the charges against Hankison. In one of the new federal indictments, Hankison is now charged with depriving Ms. Taylor, her boyfriend, and three of their neighbors of their rights by firing 10 bullets through a window and sliding glass door that were both covered by blinds. Stu Matthews, a lawyer who represented Hankison, said he understood Hankison was preparing on Thursday morning to surrender on the new charges and that he expected Hankison would contest them. The other three officers, two detectives and a sergeant, are accused of including information they knew to be false in an affidavit submitted to a judge in order to obtain the search warrant and then lying to cover up what they had done. One of the detectives, Joshua Janes, was fired over his role in the raid. He had sent a draft of the affidavit to Kelly Goodlett, a fellow detective, in which prosecutors said he falsely claimed to have verified that Taylor's former boyfriend was receiving packages at her address. In fact, according to the prosecutors, there was no evidence of such packages. Ms. Goodlett knew the claim was false, the charging document said, but did not object to it. She's accused of adding misleading claims that the former boyfriend was using the address to Ms. Taylor's apartment as his current address. The third officer charged, Sergeant Kyle Meany, led the unit handling the investigation and approved the affidavit, despite knowing it contained the false information which violated Taylor's rights, according to the indictment. Ms. Meany and Goodlett did not have lawyers listed in court records. Mr. Janes was charged with conspiring to impede the federal investigation. So, according to Sergeant Mattingly, who, again, was there and was shot in the femoral artery and nearly bled out in the middle of this particular event, and has been castigated for the Louisville Courier-Journal for that great sin. You know, he has talked openly about what happened in the case. So Mattingly says that the blame for Taylor's death, a horrible tragedy and the exact scenario of Recap fears, falls squarely on her boyfriend Walker. He says the tragedy is a culmination of events that led us to a raid on that apartment, along with the criminal actions of Kenneth Walker that night, but that distinction was lost or rather buried. He said there was no way a few minutes after the initial incident, Kenneth Walker did not know it was the police outside, but he chose to stay inside the apartment for 15 minutes before exiting, claiming he didn't know who we were. Mattingly is suing one of the attorneys in this particular case because the attorney called Taylor's death a murder. He's also counter-suing Walker, writing, if the city and department weren't willing to stand up and fight for what's right, I would. So again, Mattingly has gone through this case in pretty excruciating detail, but the reality of the situation here is that the DOJ has decided to make this a case as a political point. That is what they are doing here. Now, I will be curious to see what evidence they provide to suggest that the officers willingly signed off on an affidavit for a for a search warrant that they knew was false. I'll be interested to see further evidence in that case. But the idea that Breonna Taylor was targeted and shot for no apparent reason, or that it was a civil rights violation to serve the warrant by knocking on the door, is totally crazy. But again, this is part and parcel of Merrick Garland's very progressive DOJ enforcing the law against police officers, supposedly. Meanwhile, the Biden administration not enforcing the law against those who violate the American border. According to Bloomberg editors, from day one, Joe Biden's immigration policy has been largely incoherent. It is now verging on a crisis. The numbers are absolutely stunning, by the way, on Joe Biden's border crisis. It's been largely ignored by all of the media. In June, authorities recorded 191,898 apprehensions at the border, following more than 222,000 the previous month. Would-be migrants have been processed after crossing the southwestern border more than 1.7 million times so far this year, already exceeding last year's record-setting tally. Distinctive catastrophes, such as the death of 53 migrants in an abandoned tractor trailer in San Antonio in June, have only punctuated these grim figures. This is the Bloomberg editors. With this influx has come a host of related problems. Human trafficking has surged. Huge amounts of illegal weapons and drugs, in particular fentanyl, have turned up at the border. So far this year, 56 migrants have been flagged by the terrorist screening database, up from 15 last year. More than 15,000 unaccompanied kids were picked up in June alone. During his 4 years in office, President Donald Trump attempted to reduce migrant flows using two programs. The first, known as Remain in Mexico, required most asylum seekers to remain south of the border while their cases were processed. In response to legal challenges, that policy was set aside in favor of Title 42, which allowed for widespread expulsions on public health grounds. As for Biden, he's been trying to shut down both programs since the start of his presidency without specifying any plausible alternatives. He has proposed a funding cut for border apprehensions and removals. He published an ill-conceived reform structure that seemed to act as an invitation for further migration without laying the necessary groundwork. Vice President Kamala Harris, who is supposed to be his new border czar, has spent 3 days in Latin America and never visited the American border. And was hilariously called out by Lester Holt for never visiting the American border. She said, well, I have visited the border. He's like, well, no, you haven't. She's like, that's true. The bottom line is that all asylum seekers have a right to have their claims heard in court, but the United States must ensure the system doesn't get completely overwhelmed. And when the Bloomberg editors, where no strong right-wingers, are ripping on Joe Biden's immigration policy, you know that there's a full-scale disaster on the border. And by the way, they know it. Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, he says there's a wide array of criminal threats at the border.
The border presents significant security issues. There's a wide array of criminal threats that we encounter down at the border. You mentioned a little bit in some of your questions the transnational criminal organizations that use diverse and complex methods to traffic drugs. That then cascades over into prison and street gangs who distribute it.
Okay, so massive street increase in terms of drugs, fentanyl, all the rest of this stuff. Here's Christopher Wray admitting also that there are 150-plus countries that have been sending illegal migrants across the border. That's a major security issue.
In one sector, the Del Rio sector, they reported encounters from people from 150-plus countries. In other words, it's not just a south of the border issue in terms of Mexico, Central America, and the like. This is an international human smuggling network. Would you agree with me?
I don't have the numbers like it sounds like you do, but I certainly know that it is an eclectic mix of nationalities, and the volume is just staggering.
And that's a public security threat. You agree with me?
To me, it represents a significant security issue and represents a wide array of criminal threats that flow out of it.
Well, I mean, we're supposed to pretend that the border is under control. I mean, Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Homeland Security, everybody keeps saying the border is under control. It is not, in fact, under control. So let's just say this administration is incredibly selective about which laws it chooses to enforce and how it chooses to enforce them. Alrighty, coming up, Dick Cheney is now signing into his daughter's congressional race in Wyoming. We'll bring you the updates there first. Now, I've had my Helix sleep mattress for years at this point. Let me just tell you, it's just as good as when we first got it. Why? Well, because they made it just for us. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everybody's unique. Helix knows that. They have several different mattress models to choose from. They've got soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattress is great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. Mattress is great for spinal alignment to prevent morning aches and pains, even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. I took the Helix quiz. I was matched to a mattress that is firm and yet breathable. And let me tell you, that is exactly what I need, because if the mattress is too soft, I get back pain. If it's not breathable enough, then I tend to heat up at night. If you're looking for a mattress that is matched just to you, take the quiz, order the mattress, you're matched to. The mattress comes directly to your door, shipped for free. Head on over to helixsleep.com/Ben. Take that 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. They've got a 10-year warranty. You can try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you're going to love it. For a limited time, Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. This is their best offer yet. Hurry on over to helixsleep.com/Ben to get started. Alrighty, coming up, former Vice President Dick Cheney. He has now signed in to the political debate. He's signing off on a commercial that rips into Donald Trump on behalf of Liz Cheney. Is that going to help Liz Cheney? Are the members of the left even going to accept help from Vice President Cheney? I have doubts. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
It's the Ramsey Show. Talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Liz Cheney is leading up the Republican efforts on the January 6th committee to, quote unquote, get Donald Trump. And she has trotted out an enormous amount of evidence that people who invaded the Capitol building on January 6th were doing a bad thing. She has unveiled an enormous amount of evidence suggesting that Donald Trump and his lawyers were attempting a bunch of political maneuvers that had no actual basis in the law. She has yet to actually connect the dots, suggesting that Donald Trump told people to invade the Capitol building, which is what the January 6th committee was originally designed to do. Now, there is the possibility that the DOJ is going to pick up on all of this, including particularly the lead up to January 6th, not really even January 6th, but all of the legal maneuverings that Trump was doing, the pressure that he was apparently putting on people like Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, there's the possibility that, that Merrick Garland goes after Trump. But Liz Cheney herself, right, in leading this effort, has made herself extraordinarily unpopular in her own district. So she is the congressperson from Wyoming, and she is losing in her congressional primary by about 1 million points at this point. There's not a lot of support for her. Dick Cheney is now signing into debate to rip on Donald Trump. He's cut an ad. Kevin Costner also cut an ad, oddly enough, on behalf of Liz Cheney. I'm not sure how many people that's going to win over in the state of Wyoming. But Liz Cheney is now bringing in her dad to stump on her behalf, and he is ripping into Donald Trump. Here's the ad he cut.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election, and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it. Lynn and I are so proud of Liz for standing up for the truth, doing what's right, honoring her oath to the Constitution, when so many in our party are too scared to do so. Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. And she will succeed. I am Dick Cheney. I proudly voted for my daughter. I hope you will too.
I'm Liz Cheney, and I approve this message.
Okay, so weak move by Liz Cheney just on a political level. If you have to bring in Vice President Cheney as your backup, I mean, he's your dad, that's kind of awkward. Also, when Dick Cheney says that Donald Trump is the most dangerous person in the history of the United States, I'm going to go no on that. I mean, like, whatever you think of Donald Trump's manipulations after the election, between the election and January 6th, and I thought very little of them, as I made very clear throughout that process, we've had some pretty dangerous characters in our nation's history. The notion that the threat to the republic is Donald Trump and that we were on the verge of being overthrown is just not true. I mean, that's a wild exaggeration. But put this aside, one of the things that's so funny about this is that you keep seeing this over and over and over. Republicans who do the right thing according to Democrats, and then Democrats just yell at them. They're very angry because it turns out that if they realize you're a Republican, it's not about you doing the right thing. It's about the fact that you're a Republican. So you saw this with regard to Peter Mayer. Peter Mayer was running for Congress in Michigan, and he voted for Donald Trump's impeachment, right? He's one of the good guys, according to the Democrats. They promptly dropped a bunch of money in order to promote his political opponent, and he lost his primary to John Gibbs. So he was useful until exactly the time he was no longer useful. The kind of newfound respect that you're seeing for Dick Cheney from some on the left is amusing to me, considering that he was the Sith Lord, Darth Vader, worst person on earth, while he was vice president under George W. Bush. So bad that Hollywood wasted a bunch of money to make a movie with Christian Bale, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, starring as Dick Cheney, directed by the, I would say, externally heavy-handed Adam McKay. Like, that's how much they hate Dick Cheney. Now Dick Cheney is emerging, and you can see that the left are actually angry at Dick Cheney. They're yelling at him again. So he's out there doing the stuff they want him to do, and it doesn't matter. A bunch of people on the left are jumping in. There is a human being named Zachary Sire who tweeted out, quote, "Fun fact, Dick Cheney is also a liar, plus he's a murderer who killed hundreds of thousands of people for oil and defense contracts. F him, F his wretched daughter, F Trump, they can all rot in hell." Well, that's awkward. He was trying to help you guys. I mean, that, Oliver Willis of Media Matters, quote, "Best thing about this ad is that Dick Cheney looks like bleep. Dick Cheney saying Trump is evil is like brain cancer talking bleep about lung cancer." So it turns out that even when you are doing the work of the left, they still hate your guts because obviously you disagree with them. This has always been the thing about Dick Cheney that's really, really funny, is that Dick Cheney was never a rabid right winger. If you look at Dick Cheney's history, he got his start in the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission with Donald Rumsfeld under Dick Nixon. And he should have tossed that department should have been disbanded. Dick Cheney was hawkish on foreign policy, and that's about it. But again, the hatred for Dick Cheney is so strong on the left, they can't even take the help from him. He's trying to help them. They're like, no, we hate you. We hate Liz. And that, this is, by the way, this is how you got Trump. I'm just going to point out to the left, this is how you got Trump. Because he said all Republicans are so evil and so terrible that no matter who you are, you're bad. And so Republicans are like, oh, fine, here's a giant middle finger. He's orange and his name is Trump. And then the left's like, ah, He's really terrible. He's so terrible. And then Ron DeSantis runs. And they're like, well, Ron DeSantis is even worse than Trump. This game gets real old real fast. Maybe if there was some sort of sense that when Republicans do the right thing, according to you, you give some credit, that would be worthwhile. But you don't give credit. You just see them as temporary allies of convenience you can shiv in the back at the first available opportunity. So this is why Republicans are like, you know what? I'm not moving along with you on anything. I mean, they label Mitt Romney the dullest human being on the planet. And Mitt Romney is clean as the driven snow in his personal life. He has a wonderful family. He has committed no crimes, as far as I'm aware. He is extraordinarily conciliatory with the other side. He was the governor of Massachusetts and was very conciliatory as a liberal Republican in that state. And they still ripped him as a rabid right-winger. So, you know, I guess Dick Cheney is getting sort of what he deserves, looking to the wrong places for love right here. And meanwhile, the Biden administration continues to push forward on green energy. Green energy, despite the increasing gas prices. We'll get to that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Kids are back in school, and Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive knows that crowded parking lots can lead to fender benders, door dings, dents, and scratches. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive has you covered. Mako offers free estimates, works with most major insurance companies, and pricing is about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Mako at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Join the Cascade Theater on August 21st for one of the finest in-demand rock and roll ensembles working today, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson and POTR have wowed audiences and won fans with their fiery stage performances and singular sounds, which smoothly straddles rock and roll, country, soul, folk, and R&B. This will be a night you won't forget. Purchase tickets at CascadeTheater.org or 243-8877 for a night of a lifetime with Lucas Nelson and POTR on August 21st at the Cascade Theater. Well, I know my-
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction.
Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Association.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left continues to push forward its green agenda despite high gas prices and global competition. You know who doesn't care that much about green emissions? China, our chief global opponent at this point. Nonetheless, even countries in China's immediate geostrategic orbit are trying to ratchet down their own economic growth on the basis of green nonsense. According to Investor Daily, in Australia, a climate bill has now passed the lower house in Australia. It was passed by 89 votes to 55 on Thursday with support from Labour, the Greens, eight independent MPs, and Liberal MP Bridget Archer. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, said, quote, "This bill records the government's ambition to take this country forward on climate action, and it reflects our determination to bring people with us. It will help open the way for new jobs, new industries, new technologies, and a new era of prosperity for Australian manufacturing." Again, the lie that the Greens keep saying is that we're going to prevent, we will not only prevent carbon emissions, we will generate so many jobs, man, it'll make your head swim. We are going to revitalize industry. This has never happened, not once, not ever. Labour introduced the bill last week to enshrine Australia's nationally determined contribution under the Paris Agreement of a 43% reduction in emissions from 2005 levels by 2030, as well as a commitment to reaching net zero by 2050. The government agreed to a number of amendments put forward by crossbench MPs on Thursday, including that the bill does not limit Australia from reducing its emissions even further, and that advice must be sought from the Climate Change Authority before setting new targets. Meanwhile, an amendment from the Greens and independent MP Andrew Wilkie to implement a 75% emissions reduction target by 2030 and a commitment to reach net zero by 2035 was not agreed to. The Greens leader announced his party's support for the bill after negotiations with Labour, but he also urged a ban on new coal and gas projects. He said, to be crystal clear, the Greens have improved a weak climate bill, but the fight to stop Labour opening new coal and gas mines continues. In this parliament, the only obstacle to greater climate ambition is Labour. The Senate is expected to pass the bill as well. So they're pushing toward, quote unquote, net zero. They're going to try to shut down all of their gas drilling and their oil and their coal. And then they look north, and there's China, basically just waiting for Australia to weaken itself. This seems to be the West's suicide pact with itself. It's an amazing thing. Like, we will lead the way, and China will follow. I mean, China will follow with a knife. I mean, like, I don't know what you're talking about. China's going to suddenly lower its own carbon emissions because Australia and the U.S. do, or are they going to ratchet up their relative economic power? Are they going to ratchet up that relative economic power because they are taking advantage of the weakness of the West that is hampering itself because of climate change? Pete Buttigieg, the incompetent Secretary of Transportation, who apparently has accomplished nothing in his actual tenure except to take a two-month paternity leave. Pete Buttigieg, he says, you know, the way we're going to bring gas prices down and the way we're going to compete on the global stage, we're going to make electric vehicles more affordable. Yeah, that's going to do it. Go for it, Pete.
We continue to see shockwaves disrupting every part of our economy from the pandemic and from the other geopolitical and economic things that are taking place. But We have seen now more than a month, getting on 2 months of day after day reductions in gas prices. And, you know, some of the same folks who wanted to assert that this was basically directly the president's responsibility when gas prices were going up have been silent when gas prices are going down. We're just keeping our heads down and doing the work.
And look,
in my department, that means looking at the medium and longer term with fuel efficiency standards, making it easier to afford EVs, other things that help protect Americans from the effects of these ups and downs in the oil markets.
I mean, they're doing so, we're looking at the long term. You know, while in the short term we suffer, and while our global competitors continue to ratchet up the tensions, you know, that we just need green energy. And you got to give credit to Pete Buttigieg. That dude stays on message, even when the message is garbage. So here is explaining that OPEC, which has now announced that they will raise their oil production by 100,000 barrels a day, and they announce in their actual announcement that we don't have the capacity to raise it further because we just don't have excess capacity right now, thanks to the long-term disincentives that have been created by Western governments for actually investing in oil and gas. Pete Buttigieg is like, well, OPEC doesn't have the capacity to raise their production. Instead of worrying about how we raise global oil production, we need to lower global oil production so as to stop OPEC. Okay, so in order to stop OPEC, we have to stop – in order to stop OPEC, because we need more oil, we need to stop OPEC by stopping oil. Here we go.
This is not a normal textbook, you know, supply and demand sort of situation. Governments decide, especially the governments of OPEC and those countries, dictate a lot of the dynamics around oil prices. And it's one of many, many reasons why Americans will be better off when we have more domestic clean energy production. One of the many, many benefits of transitioning the way we fuel our cars, for example, to make them more efficient and ultimately liberate more Americans from having to worry about decisions that are being made in capitals in the Middle East.
I mean, nothing liberates Americans quite like saying you have to buy a more expensive car that you can't afford and pay more at the pump so Pete Buttigieg can feel good about himself. That is clearly the goal here. Pete Buttigieg says, you know, it's important we get to zero emissions as fast as we can. Important to whom? To whom? Well, to a certain cadre of people who are very, very concerned about the rising of the global temperature over the course of 100 years. Not of particular concern to people who are trying to pay their bills today.
The subsidies that now come back into play for EVs, in certain cases, it will help the likes of Tesla, which would have been out of that business or at least not had those subsidies. But also hybrid vehicles, it looks to me, if I understand it properly, will also have those subsidies applied to them. And there's some thought that may actually crowd out or may not incentivize the move towards full EVs as quickly, and what you think of that critique.
What's important is that we get to zero emissions as quickly as we can, and that too is not automatically a switch. I think there are a lot of consumers, including me, by the way, who have turned to a plug-in hybrid vehicle that is, for all intents and purposes, an electric zero-emission vehicle most of the time, like when you're driving it around the city.
I'm sorry. Their solutions here, like electric vehicles, just demonstrate how out of touch they are. Pete Buttigieg can probably find a way to get himself an electric vehicle. After all, he's in politics. But everybody else can't even get one. Even if you want one, you can't get one. I ordered a Tesla a year ago. It still has not arrived. So thank you so much. Meanwhile, the irrepressibly stupid AOC, she and her friends, they say it's time to let the EPA transition us to a green future. By the way, you wonder why Republicans talk about gutting the executive state? Why they talk about getting rid of all the bureaucrats? It's because the left uses the bureaucracy in order to forward its goals. Here's AOC bragging about it openly.
Hey, all.
Hey, everyone. This is Congressman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And Congressman Jake Auchincloss. Recently, the Supreme Court ruled in West Virginia versus EPA that the EPA did not have the requisite authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. Climate action can't wait. So Alex and I recently introduced a bill that would explicitly grant the authority that the Supreme Court had denied to the EPA that it can take the action necessary to transition us to a clean energy future.
Absolutely. And then, you know, after all of these rulings, these terrible rulings coming out of the Supreme Court, the House has successfully codified Roe. We have successfully voted to codify and protect the right to contraception, same-sex marriage. And next up, we have to vote to protect the EPA in making sure that we defend ourselves against this assault on our rights from the Supreme Court. So we're here. We're here to advance this legislation, and we won't stop until it's done.
Well, I mean, it's not getting done. And the reason it's not getting done is because you don't have the support, even among Democrats, to grant that authority to the EPA. But it just demonstrates how much Congress wishes that there were bureaucrats who ran everything. And they want the bureaucrats to simply cram down on you a bunch of rules that you don't actually want. This is one of their goals in life, and you should not let them. because these people do not have your best interests at heart. They have their own best interests at heart. Meanwhile, speaking of which, Democrats and Kyrsten Sinema have now reached a deal on the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which does not actually reduce inflation. Sinema said she would soon be ready to move forward on a revised version of the Senate Democrats' health care, climate, and deficit reduction package. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, your gas prices are too high, as we're talking about? Well, here is one way to lower them. Go get the Upside app right now. It is free in the App Store or Google Play. You can use promo code Shapiro for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first fill-up, cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. You get cash back using Upside. You download the app for free. Use promo code Shapiro for 25 cents per gallon or more on that first tank. And it's not just for gas. You can earn cash back at grocery stores, restaurants, with takeout as well. You can cash out to your bank account or get an e-gift card for select retailers and brands. Users have earned over $200 using Upside, so what exactly are you waiting for? Just download the free Upside app, use promo code Shapiro, get 25 cents per gallon or more cash back on your very first tank of gas. Again, use promo code Shapiro right now. That is promo code Shapiro. When you use that free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play, you're going to start getting that money rolling back into your bank account. Not just gas, also grocery stores, restaurants with takeout. Now, Joe Biden isn't doing a good job fighting inflation, but you know what? Upside is helping you just a little bit, or more than a little bit, depending on how often you use it. Head on over to that Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code Shapiro for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first fill-up cash back. So, as we say, Kyrsten Sinema is now ready to move on the Democrats' so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which does not reduce inflation. Sinema offered her must-have support after Democratic leaders agreed to scale back some of their original tax proposals, capping days of speculation about her public silence and moving her party one step closer to fulfilling a central element of President Biden's economic agenda. By economic agenda, we mean raising taxes and spending a lot of money on green nonsense. In a statement, Sinema said Democrats had agreed to remove a key tax policy targeting wealthy investors that aimed to address what is known as the carried interest loophole. She also signaled they made additional tweaks to a second provision that imposes a new minimum tax on corporations that currently pay nothing to the U.S. government. The latter set of revisions are likely to benefit some manufacturers, according to two people familiar with the matter. Many corporate executives, including local Arizona business leaders, had petitioned Sinema to consider the consequences of the tax in recent days. With it, Democrats opted to seek a new 1% tax on corporate stock buybacks, a move that would make up at least some of the revenue that might have been lost as a result of the changes, the two people familiar with the matter said. So they're going to prevent companies from buying back their own stock if they believe that the stock is undervalued. Party lawmakers agreed to set aside new money at Sinema's request to respond to climate issues, including drought, according to the sources. So Sinema says she will await a final review from the chamber's parliamentarian, at which point she would move forward on the measure known as the Inflation Reduction Act. Biden hailed the development. He said, I look forward to the Senate taking up this legislation and passing it as soon as possible. Now, the entire media have declared that this is going to be a big win for Democrats, but I don't know why. Under the new plan, Democrats are now going to impose a new tax on the money the companies spend to purchase back their own stock. In adding the new tax, Democrats appear to rethink their initial plans to impose a minimum 15% tax on corporations. The exact details are not clear. Sinema says that basically there will be some kickbacks to manufacturing. Democrats removed their proposal to target taxes that apply to private equity and hedge fund managers. Initially, the bill sought to change the way investors are taxed on the fees their clients pay them, subjecting them to higher tax rates. Sinema had opposed that. So bottom line is, going to be an enormous amount of spending on green boondoggles that will have very little effect in the long term of the American economy. So what exactly is in this thing? According to the Washington Post, a $65 billion expansion of Obamacare, $35 billion prescription drug and vaccine coverage, $235 billion in energy and climate tax credits and spending. So a lot of money to solar panel companies and wind farms. $30 billion in clean electricity grants and loans, $40 billion on clean manufacturing tax credits, $30 billion on clean energy technology. Again, all of this is basically just going to be paying off all your friends. Meanwhile, $315 billion in minimum tax from corporations, $125 billion they say will come from the IRS auditing more people. So if you like audits, then get ready for it. They're also going to get rid of certain Trump-era rules. They're going to negotiate certain drug prices, which is going to cut down on investment in R&D by drug companies. It's a bad bill. It's not going to have any market impact on Democratic hopes for 2022. But at least they get to say they did something, right? And that's really what Congress people want to do. It doesn't matter if it's good or if it's bad. They just want to say that they're doing something. Do something. Okay, well, now they're doing a thing. It's not a particularly good thing, but it's a thing. So we will see whether it has the sort of impact they think it's going to have politically speaking. And this economic package supposedly is going to cost $433 billion. It's going to cost a lot more than that. There has never been a bill that costs anywhere near what they say it's going to cost. All right, coming up, what would be enough politically for you to end a friendship with someone. For John Legend, it's simply saying that you voted for Donald Trump. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Your friendly oil change, Premier, and all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face to face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Turn.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, John Legend seems like not a very nice person. According to the New York Post, John Legend has resigned from his friendship with Kanye West over his 2020 White House bid in support of former President Donald Trump. Legend could not give the friendship a green light anymore because, quote, we publicly disagreed on his running for office and supporting Trump. The singer-songwriter spoke on CNN's The Axe Files podcast with David Axelrod, said the pair weren't friends as much as we used to be. West, of course, supported Trump while he was in office. The rapper believed by trusting God he could lead American politics, furthermore announcing his 2020 presidential campaign on Twitter. Apparently, Legend said he was upset I didn't support his run for the presidency of the United States of America for understandable reasons. The Brotherhood was straining for him. He said, I think it became too much for us to sustain our friendship, honestly. Like, he's been pretty upfront with his opinions, his struggles, all the things he's dealing with. I think what you see with him is pretty much what you get. But it was the support of Trump, he said. And that was the big deal. Meanwhile, he says he himself does not want to run for office right now. He says, I don't really envision myself wanting to do it in the future. But the fact that the real breaking point with John Legend was the support for Trump is pretty astonishing. Like, there are a lot of things in life that should lead you to not be friends with people. Their support for an opposing political candidate probably is not one of those things. I'm not saying you got to marry somebody, but I have lots of friends who voted for people who I really, really disapprove of. All right, let's check the mailbag and get some of your questions. If you are indeed a subscriber at DailyWirePlus.com, then I might answer your question. Keenan says, hey, Ben, I watched your Sunday special with Mark Levin. I thought it was the best political discussion I've seen on your show. I'm curious. When I hear you talk about the worst U.S. presidents, I always expect Andrew Johnson to be at the top of the list. It's been my opinion his failures led to the country reversing progress from the Civil War, leading to decades more of oppression and increased racial tension. Am I overestimating the possibilities of the post-Civil War era, or do you think nearly any president would have failed had they been in Johnson's shoes? No, Johnson was a bad president. I mean, Andrew Johnson was a vice president who had basically been put in place as an attempt to reconcile the country. And after Lincoln's death, he moved pretty strongly against the so-called radical Republicans. He was then replaced by Ulysses S. Grant, who actually was a wildly underestimated president. But yes, Andrew Johnson was not a good president, for sure. Again, tough job, given the fact that you are the president immediately after the assassination of the prior president and at the end of the Civil War, in which half the country tried to break away from the other half. Shane says, hey, Ben. I'm staunchly pro-life, and I thought of something. I know life begins at conception. In the case of identical twins, the single fertilized cell splits into two separate entities. What happened metaphysically? Did two new humans get created in that moment, or just one, or something entirely different? Does this implicate pro-life arguments in any way? Thanks, as always. Haven't hashed through this yet. Would like to hear your thoughts. Well, no. I mean, what happened is that a new life was created, and then the life split. Right now, if you believe in ensoulment, then ensoulment happened presumably at the point of the split because you have two separate babies that have now been created. But that does not mean that there wasn't any sort of life that was in place at the point of conception, right? Two things can be true at once. Life was in place at the point of conception, and then it became more specific because this is what happens when an embryo grows. It became more specific in cellular terms as it separated and differentiated into two separate human beings. Christian says, hey, Ben. With green policy causing food shortages in Sri Lanka and potentially deadly energy shortages in Europe this winter, would it be fair to begin calling green agendas green Lysenkoism? I haven't heard anyone really make this connection. Love to hear your thought. I think we need a word like this to describe what the left is doing with green policy. So, Lysenkoism was the Soviet idea that essentially crop plants passed on their non-genetic influences, environmental influences, to their future breeding possibilities. But it's really identified with the idea of Soviet science that didn't work. That there was an attempt to push science in an ideological direction, and it ended up with massive failure. So, yeah, I mean, I think you could say that green energy is largely Lysenkoism, because it seems like if the results were there, then they wouldn't have to lie about them. Dave says, hey, Ben, you and your team, even those mostly unseen and unheard, are doing a priceless job. Thanks to each one of you. I thank you on behalf of my team, who will remain unseen and unheard. Did portions of budget balancing during the Clinton presidency that adversely affected intelligence services lead us to spending vastly so much more than those initial budget savings on foreign conflicts that likely would have been avoided had the United States not cut back so much on human and other forms of intelligence? Could additional tragedies like 9/11 have been prevented in the United States or elsewhere? Well, I mean, certainly better intelligence and military funding during the Clinton era would have been a very, very good thing. You could have done that with a balanced budget. It could have cut in other areas. But yes, I mean, anytime you cut the military, you end up with the possibility of America's enemies taking advantage of that. Now, there was also a significant lack of will under the Clinton administration. And the Clinton administration had bin Laden in their crosshairs, like, multiple times, and simply refused to pull the trigger. So this sort of, it's both. You cut back on the military, you're inviting conflict. But second of all, you got to have the will to use it when you got to use it. Tim says, hey, Ben, I know you've made your case on the JFK and RFK assassination conspiracies. I'm curious about your take on the MLK assassination. Seems like there's a lot more evidence there of a larger conspiracy. A court even ruled as such in 1999 against the government. Love your sensible take and trying to boil down what exactly happened. So the MLK assassination has always been pretty controversial. I mean, not just in terms of the assassination, but in terms of who committed it. James Earl Ray was obviously the person who was charged with the crime, and he pled guilty in March of 1969. He tried to withdraw his guilty plea, and he was unsuccessful. So the King family has suggested multiple times that this, in fact, was a conspiracy that involved the mafia and the government, and that it was Ray who was the scapegoat. Again, conspiracy theories tend to implode in on themselves because they require an enormous amount of people who are complicit and who can keep their mouths shut. It seems unlikely to me that this was a massive conspiracy involving the government or the mafia or anything like that. It seems much more likely that we were in a moment in which assassination had become quite popular. And this is the same era as we say JFK, RFK, George Wallace assassination attempt. So the notion that it was an unbalanced or racist or evil individual who did it seems pretty likely. Because again, the number of assassination attempts that actually include a conspiratorial element is pretty low. George says, my question is purely genuine, not meant as a gotcha type question. A lot more traditional religious groups deny the existence of dinosaurs and other ancient animals. Does Judaism allow for the belief of the existence of ancient animals like dinosaurs? Just curious. Thanks. I mean, sure. Why not? It all depends on how you read the beginning episodes of Genesis. Do you read those as a literal depiction of events as they occurred within a 24-hour day? God created all the animals. Within a 24-hour day, God created all the plants. Within a 24-hour day, God created the sun. Or is this meant in a more metaphorical and figurative sense? The basic idea of Thomas Aquinas and Maimonides and the vast, I would say the vast bulk of religious authors over time is that if there's a conflict between science and religion, you're reading either one right and the other wrong or the opposite. And so if there is well-verified evidence of dinosaurs, which there clearly is, it seems like people who are attempting to read the Bible so literally the dinosaurs never existed and God just planted a bunch of bones in the ground to freak us out. There's no reason that you have to make that case. Obviously, at my kids' Jewish day school, they teach about dinosaurs. Victoria says, hey, Ben, I know you stated you support capital punishment for murderers and rapists. I wanted to know what your specific standards are for those that should receive the sentence. Do you think anyone that commits murder and or rape should be put to death across the board, or do you think it depends on the details of the crime? Also, do you think the background of the convict matters, like if they had an abusive or neglectful upbringing? No on the background. As far as the details, I mean, of course the details matter. It depends on whether you're charging murder or manslaughter, for example. But if you're talking about a cold-blooded murder, somebody kills somebody else, then, yeah, I believe in the death penalty. And I think the vast majority of Americans do, especially when you're talking about some of the most egregious forms of murder that we've seen. All right, we'll be back here on Monday with much, much more. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Former President Trump rallying Republican supporters in the Badger State Friday night.
We fought for Wisconsin and we won for Wisconsin, and with a big victory for Republicans this November, we will fight and win for Wisconsin once again and win like never before.
Mr. Trump was speaking at a Save America rally in Waukesha. Now, on Saturday afternoon, the 45th president will keynote the Saturday session of the Conservative Political Action Conference in Dallas. Meanwhile, at that conference on Thursday, Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban was a speaker, said the future of Western democracies will be decided in the coming years.
You have midterm elections this year, then presidential and congressional elections in 2024. And we will have election in the European Parliament same year. These two locations will define the two fronts in the battle being fought for Western civilization.
Orban urged the cheering conservatives to take back the institutions, stick to hardline stances on homosexual rights and immigration, and fight for the next U.S. presidential election. U.S. employers added some 528,000 jobs last month, despite flashing warning signs of an economic downturn. Wells Fargo senior economist Sarah House says the numbers are stunning.
That comes down to the fact that really every other labor market indicator we've seen in recent months point to the jobs market actually cooling, not getting hotter.
Meanwhile, unemployment dropped another notch from 3.6% to 3.5%, matching the more than 50-year low reached just before the pandemic took hold. Negotiators from Iran, the U.S., and European Union resuming months-long indirect talks over Tehran's tattered nuclear deal. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
This week on RVER, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. I'm sorry, I can't operate on that vehicle.
But, Doctor, you took an oath.
That RV, it's my son's RV.
Oh, doctor, isn't there anything you can...
I'm not a miracle worker, Sheila. I'm an RV surgeon, trained to save the lives of large injured recreational vehicles, which is definitely a real profession.
When your RV really needs saving, Progressive has you covered. See if you could save with a leader in RV insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, covered subject to policy terms.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Israel says it's striking Gaza and declaring a special situation on the home front after days of tensions following the arrest of a senior Palestinian militant in the West Bank.
A blast could be heard in Gaza City where smoke poured out of the seventh floor of a tall building. Israel had closed roads around Gaza earlier this week and sent reinforcements to the border as it braced for a revenge attack after the arrest of a senior member of the Islamic Jihad militant group in the West Bank. Bob Agner reporting.
Three more ships carrying thousands of tons of corn left Ukrainian ports Friday, traveled mine waters toward inspection of their delayed cargo. That's a sign that an international deal to export grain held up since Russia invaded Ukraine was slowly progressing. French Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne warned France is facing the most severe drought ever recorded and announced the activation of a government crisis unit. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. In news from the courtroom, a controversial radio and TV talk show host has been ordered to write a big check for lying about a school shooting.
Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones has been ordered by a Texas jury to pay $49.3 million in total damages to the parents of a first grader killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre. Jones falsely called the attack a hoax, saying it was orchestrated by the government to tighten U.S. gun laws. The jury award came in the final phase of a two-week trial, adding $45.2 million in punitive damages to the $4.1 million in compensatory damages Jones was ordered to pay Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, the couple whose six-year-old son Jesse Lewis was among 19 children and six educators killed in the classroom shooting, had sought $150 million. I'm Mike Ron.
Check out more on these stories. Log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Make sure you protect your internet activity the same way that I do. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. One of the things that is making people on the left very disquieted at the moment is the fact that there are people on the right who are now looking at executive power and recognizing that perhaps they should not leave the so-called deep state to itself. There's a large-scale article the other day in the New York Times by Thomas Edsel talking about the fact that if Donald Trump were to win in 2024, in 2025, he would begin to clear out the so-called deep state. He'd begin firing a bunch of people inside the executive branch using Schedule F classification, which would essentially say that a bunch of people who are career appointees were actually political policy appointees, making them subject to at-will firing by the top of the executive branch. People on the left were fighting mad over this because, of course, they have essentially salted the entire executive branch of the federal government with people who agree with them, so that when you have somebody who becomes president, George W. Bush, Donald Trump, say Ron DeSantis in the future, when that happens, those people will not be able to get done what they want to get done because all of these supposedly nonpartisan, non-political appointees who are not confirmed by the Senate or career bureaucrats, these people all agree with the left, and so the idea is that they will be able to stymie the worst excesses of the evil Republicans who take over. This obviously was a major obstacle for Donald Trump during his presidency, when apparently the entire FBI, or at least large segments of it, were virulently oriented against Trump's entire agenda. So the idea here from Thomas Edsel is this was a danger to democracy and to the Republic if Republicans were to start firing people who work for them. Because if you're in the executive branch, everybody who works in the executive branch works for you. Well, Ron DeSantis, who is a potential 2024 presidential nominee on the Republican side of the aisle, all the polls show him within striking distance of Donald Trump at the moment, and we still have a couple of years to go before the actual primaries begin. Well, Ron DeSantis in Florida is demonstrating full scale this particular idea, which is that if there are people who work for your branch and they refuse to actually abide by the laws that you are supposed to enforce, these people should be fired. So controversy has now broken out over the fact that Governor DeSantis has suspended a state prosecutor Thursday for pledges he made to decline prosecuting cases involving violations related to abortion and gender transition treatment. Ron DeSantis said that he had suspended Andrew Warren, a Democrat, who served as the top prosecutor for the state's 13th Judicial Circuit in Hillsborough County, which includes Tampa, for neglect of duty. The Republican governor then tapped State Judge Susan Lopez to serve as state attorney during the suspension. The state has 20 state attorneys. Here's Ron DeSantis announcing his firing of Andrew Warren.
The Constitution of Florida has vested the veto power in the governor, not in individual state attorneys. And so when you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty, you have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today we are suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren, effective immediately.
So State Attorney Andrew Warren put out a statement saying it's an illegal overreach that continues a dangerous pattern by Ron DeSantis of using his office to further his own political ambition. It spits in the face of the voters of Hillsborough County who have twice elected me to serve them, not Ron DeSantis. Well, the problem with that, of course, is that if you have a state attorney who simply refuses to prosecute crime, he is not doing his job. Ron DeSantis put out a statement saying that the state constitution does give him the authority to suspend state officials for reasons of malfeasance, misfeasance, neglect of duty, drunkenness, incompetence, permanent inability to perform official duties, or commission of a felony. In fact, according to Robert Jarvis, a professor who teaches Florida constitutional law at Nova Southeastern University's Shepherd Broad College of Law, according to the Wall Street Journal, Florida's constitution gives broad powers to the government to suspend officers such as state attorneys or county sheriffs for almost any reason. In fact, you'll remember that Ron DeSantis suspended former Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel in 2019 for his complete botchery of the Parkland massacre. That authority has been challenged a lot of times. Courts have routinely ruled in favor of the governor. Jarvis said, quote, the Florida Supreme Court has always said the governor has tremendous leeway. There's almost nothing that wouldn't pass muster in terms of suspension. The governor's executive order on Thursday said prosecutors have some discretion over whether to prosecute defendants, but it said that Warren's blanket refusal to enforce criminal law amounted to a veto on state law. And the order cited joint statements signed by Warren regarding potential crimes related to abortion and gender-affirming procedures. Warren had signed a statement, along with a bunch of other elected prosecutors, saying that he would refuse to enforce state abortion laws, saying that he would not prosecute anybody who performed abortions. The joint statement said enforcing abortion bans runs counter to the obligations and interests we are sworn. If you're a state attorney, you have prosecutorial discretion to determine what is a more important case or a less important case. You have the ability to determine whether you want to plea bargain somebody out or whether you want to go to trial. What you don't have the ability to do is simply declare an entire swath of law out of bounds. You are not a legislature. You are not given the power to simply say that you are not going to enforce the law. And this has been a major problem, again, across the country, ranging from California to Florida. Kamala Harris, when she was the Attorney General of the state of California, she single-handedly overruled the will of the people of California in Proposition 8. The people of California voted in 2008 to enshrine traditional marriage in the Constitution of the state of California. This was challenged. It went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and State Attorney General Kamala Harris simply said, I'm not going to defend Proposition 8 in court. And the Ninth Circuit said, since the state is not defending this in court, we are simply going to rule the law out of bounds. That was not her job. It is not the job of the attorney general of a state or of a state's attorney to simply veto laws that are passed by the legislature. So good for Ron DeSantis. And we can only hope that Republicans across the country in positions of executive power take note. Unelected bureaucrats or even elected bureaucrats who are not doing their jobs, who have specifically said that they will not do their jobs, ought to be fired or suspended. This is very simple stuff. The executive branch is not designated to simply ignore the law. And the fact that this is even a remotely controversial proposition is kind of shocking to me. I mean, if you imagine it in reverse, that there is some sort of law on the books that, say, prosecuted people of right-wing bent, and it was on the books, and the attorney general of the state simply said, I'm not going to enforce the law, and a Democrat fired that person. You think anybody in the media would be crying over it? But the question here is what the legislature has passed, not the enforceability of the law. That the courts get to determine whether the executive has to enforce the law, but so long as the judiciary has not struck down the law as violative of the state constitution or the federal constitution, if it goes to federal court, this means the executive actually has a duty to perform under the law. And if you have attorneys general who have taken on the mantle of pretending that they are the governor of a state or the president of the United States, if you're talking about the federal government, well, then you got a real problem on your hands. Warren could choose to appeal his suspension to the state Senate, which would then have 6 months to conduct a trial, according to Jarvis. The Republican-controlled state Senate is unlikely to reverse DeSantis' decision. Warren could also run again in 2024. If he chooses to have a trial in the state Senate, the body could bar him from running again if it ruled against him. So Ron DeSantis, again, demonstrating a new muscularity that I think a lot of Republicans so far have failed to actually understand. And again, I think this is one of the reasons why there are so many Republicans who are warm to DeSantis, even in ways that were not warm to Trump, because there's a baseline level of competence that DeSantis displays at how to run the government. Trump didn't know anything about how to run the government, so he came in and he basically left everybody in place. Well, presumably, if he were elected next time, he wouldn't make that same mistake. But DeSantis knows how to run a government, and that's pretty clear in the state of Florida. Well, meanwhile, the White House has declared monkeypox a public health emergency. The Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra basically went out to the middle of the office and shouted, I have declared a public health emergency. Here he was yesterday.
In light of all of these developments and the evolving circumstances on the ground, I want to make an announcement today that I will be declaring a public health emergency on monkeypox.
Okay, and then Xavier Becerra said to reporters, quote, we are prepared to take our response to the next level in addressing this virus, and we urge every American to take monkeypox seriously. I'm not going to take monkeypox seriously. This idea that everybody is equally vulnerable to monkeypox in the same way that you were vulnerable to COVID is totally crazy, and the fact that the federal government continues to push this line is ridiculous on its face. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said the declaration will provide resources and increase access to care. She said it will also expand the CDC's ability to share data. What it really is mostly about is the PR of saying that you have stood up in favor of people who are getting monkeypox. There's nothing to stand up in favor of, okay? The CDC already blew it. You were supposed to have the vaccines ready. You didn't have the vaccines ready. Now you're trying to backfill that by making public declarations of angst about monkeypox. But here's one thing the public health officials won't do. Tell gay people to stop having promiscuous sex with each other. That is one thing they 100% will not do, because that would violate the tenets of intersectionality. It's amazing. The one thing in life, apparently, you are not, the one behavior you're not allowed to control is where people put their junk. That is the one thing you can't even give them advice about. Even if what you're talking about is not restricting them or prosecuting them, you're just saying, don't put your junk there because you might get a disease. We won't say that because that might be offensive to somebody. We'll shut down your entire life if you're not doing that for COVID, a virus that is extraordinarily unlikely to kill young, healthy people. And we'll shut down all of society. We'll blast $7 trillion into the economy. We'll create 40-year highs in inflation. We'll destroy our future economic growth. We'll do all those things with regard to, because those are things we can request of you, you see. But the one thing we can never request is that gay men not have promiscuous sex with other gay men. That is one thing we absolutely will not do. I'm not saying that. The Washington Post is saying that. According to Finit Nirapil and Amrita Jayakumar, writing for the Washington Post, quote, as monkeypox strikes gay men, officials debate warnings to limit partners. San Francisco, thousands of gay men clad in leather, latex, and often much less, partied along Folsom Street here last weekend during the annual Kink and Fetish Festival. Even after the city had just declared the monkeypox outbreak striking its gay community a health emergency, one day after the WHO urged men to sleep with fewer men to reduce transmission, San Francisco public health officials made no attempt to rein in festivities or warn attendees to have less sex. As the CDC weighs whether to recommend limiting sex partners, health officials in San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and other U.S. cities battling surges disproportionately sickening gay men are avoiding calls for sexual restraint, wary of further stigmatizing same-sex intimacy. You see, here's the thing. People might, what they're worried about is that you might think that widespread promiscuity among gay men is bad. And the way that they're going to show that it's not bad is by allowing widespread promiscuity to happen, spreading monkeypox. Not sure I follow the logic here. I'm pretty sure that the thing that makes people think that, you know, gay orgies are bad is two things. The orgy part of that, and also the spreading of disease part of that. And you guys are like, well, if it spreads disease and it's an orgy, it must be okay. Public health authorities typically emphasize safer sex over abstinence to prevent the spread of diseases through intimate contact, but monkeypox is presenting new challenges in calibrating the right message to stop the rare virus from becoming endemic while limiting government intrusion into the bedroom. See, normally they would just say, well, make sure that you use safe sex practices. The problem is that monkeypox is passed skin to skin. So even if you're using safe sex practices, there's still a decent shot that you're going to pass monkeypox. And you wouldn't want to tell people to simply relegate their bedroom activities to one intimate partner. You wouldn't tell people that abstinence might be a solution. I remain bewildered by the idea in modern Western civilization that abstinence is somehow a taboo. In virtually all human societies for most of human history, you were expected to have sex within the confines of marriage. And yet this is somehow now considered so verboten that for you to say, not only you should have, we're not even talking like heterosexual sex within the confines of marriage here. We're just talking about have sex with one person, right? That's all we're saying. And like, nope, sorry, we can't do that. We can't do that. Anything that suggests that you can't have sex with whomever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, anything that does that is a form of puritanism that cannot be abided, even if it prevents the spread of monkeypox. California State Senator Scott Wiener, I didn't name him, who's involved in the city's monkeypox response, said, quote, if people want to have sex, they are going to have sex. I know people who normally go to sex parties who will not. People will make their own decisions about their own risk levels. Scott Wiener. Okay, so I have another quote from Scott Wiener that I think is worthwhile. Scott Wiener called for a full national mask mandate. So you and your small children should be forced to wear a piece of cloth over your face because of COVID, regardless of what the data show on the ability to pass COVID with or without a mask. You still have to wear a mask. It's very important forever. Wear a mask, national mask mandate. But you can't tell people not to have random promiscuous sex with other people they don't know. That is a bridge too far, man. If you tell them to take that piece of cloth and put it a little lower down, then it's a problem. You put it on your face, that we can tell you to do. We tell you to put it on your junk, that we definitely cannot tell you to do. More than 6,600 cases of monkeypox have been detected in the United States, prompting the Biden administration to declare a public health emergency to galvanize awareness. I'm pretty sure we're all aware. I'm pretty sure, in fact, I feel like I'm significantly more aware of monkeypox than I need to be given my personal behavioral profile here. Heterosexual married man with three kids. I'm pretty sure that my awareness of monkeypox vastly outpaces the chances of me obtaining monkeypox. The virus primarily spreads through the exposure of an infected person's rashes or lesions. This is the first outbreak in which contact during sex appears to be the significant driver. Infections are heavily concentrated among men who have sex with men. Again, I am enjoying the media's reframing of this conversation. So when gay men predominantly get a sexually, what seems to be a disease that is largely transmitted through sex, we won't say gay men. We'll say men who have sex with men to prevent you from thinking that men who have sex with men are typically gay, which I thought was the definition. Many public health officials and activists who spent decades on the front lines of the battle against HIV/AIDS say they have learned it is futile to tell people to have less sex. You can't do it. You can't tell people ever to have less sex. It's futile. Shut down your businesses? Sure. Never go outside again? Absolutely. Wrap your head three times in duct tape? 100%. But don't screw randos? No, we cannot do this. This stance puts them at odds with the WHO. A top New York epidemiologist who condemned the city's messaging and others within the gay community who say gay men deserve direct warnings before it is too late to end the outbreak. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate is estimated to be upwards of 10%. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation, and the name to know is Noble Gold. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up more on the public health establishment's very difficult decision-making. Are they allowed to tell gay people to stop having orgies in the middle of a monkeypox epidemic? It might be discriminatory. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott.
That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReddingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
Not, no. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is a sad truth that the public health experts, they're having a very tough time telling gay dudes not to have sex with like 100 gay dudes in the dark. Dan Savage, sex columnist, who has criticized the public health response, says, quote, "It was devaluing gay men's lives and health not to warn gay men. Now here we are, really on the verge of monkeypox being endemic in gay communities all over the world. How is that for stigma?" Savage says public health officials should have advised gay men to curb their sex lives at the start of the outbreak. Again, Dan Savage is not an advocate of chastity. Dan Savage is a very, very, very left-wing columnist and sex advice person who has, for a very long time, been very much in favor of promiscuous sex. So when Dan Savage is saying it, when Dan Savage and I are saying the same thing, I'm pretty sure it's not about the stigma anymore, guys. It's about you guys are so crazy in your attempts to, quote-unquote, destigmatize particular forms of sex that you are willing to overlook the spread of disease. I love this. Savage is taking his own advice, limiting sex to his husband and his boyfriend. And skipping San Francisco's Door Alley Festival this year. Well, you know, we all have our moral limits. A dozen Door Alley attendees interviewed by the Washington Post said they took monkeypox seriously without the government scolding them to do so. Many revelers kept their clothes on or donned full latex outfits inside crowded bars. One man sheathed himself in a monkeypox-inspired costume, a clear plastic rain suit over a rainbow outfit decorated with white polka dots he said he wore to make a statement about the importance of avoiding skin-to-skin contact. Several said they planned to avoid casual sex at after parties. Attendance was down by thousands compared with previous years. A 30-year-old festival regular, who spoke on the condition he'd be identified only by his nickname, Oni, citing privacy concerns, said he was being more cautious this year, especially given his day job as a massage therapist. Oh, no. Yeah. Sporting a black leather and chain corset, lace-up mid-calf boots, chartreuse face paint, and a small set of horns, Oni said he didn't plan to have sex and had received the monkeypox vaccine weeks earlier. He left as the festival became more crowded and skipped the bars entirely. For the time being, he said, no darkroom sex parties, no orgies. For the time being. Because you would never want to stigmatize this stuff in normal times. This is also part that's hilarious, is that we're supposed to pretend that all of this activity is actually morally good as long as you're not passing disease. It turns out, you know what's bad for people? Genuinely promiscuous sex parties. These are not good for people's souls. They're not good for people's bodies. They are not good. The fact that this has become a controversial statement demonstrates that our society has basically fallen into the maw of hell. That's an insane reality. that if I say to you, don't have sex with 100 people in a dark room that you don't know, that you're doing something wrong for yourself and for society. People are like, how dare you, sir? How dare you? My sex life is just as fulfilling and rich and filled with soulfulness as anyone else's. Then you wonder why people are having trouble condemning the behavior. Instead of shutting down Dora Alley, San Francisco officials focused on disseminating information about how the virus spreads to help people make their own choices. I'm glad they've become, again, when it came to getting the vax for COVID, not your own choice. Masks, not your own choice. Mandates. Here, make your own decision, gang. At the street festival itself, warnings about monkeypox were hard to find. Only one of the attendees interviewed said he received an informational pamphlet about the virus, even as organizers checked for proof of COVID vaccinations. They were checking to make sure you didn't have COVID so you didn't spread it. But then they were like, well, you know, there is this other thing. We're not going to talk about that. It's too awkward. Public health authorities worry about placing too much emphasis on sex as a mode of transmission because monkeypox also spreads in other ways. I mean, statistically, not so much. I mean, spreading a little bit in other ways, but not like this. Xanth Bryan, Sexual Health and Prevention Program Manager for the Washington State Health Department, said urging people to have less sex unfairly places the onus on individuals to end the outbreak and distracts from other potential sources of transmission, such as dancing in packed clubs. Approaching it from a purely sexually transmitted infection standpoint doesn't really meet the challenge, said Bryan. No, I'm again, you know it as another behavior that you don't have to engage in is dancing in crowded clubs. Like, these are... We can't count on individuals to prevent monkeypox, but it's up to you whether COVID stops an endemic virus that is airborne. Amazing. In New York City, a top epidemiologist at the health department has publicly criticized agency leadership for not urging men who have sex with men to abstain from anonymous sex for several weeks. Again, they're not even saying, like, do it forever. Like, just for a few weeks, guys. Can you cut out the, you know, the chains? Like for like, you know, for like, I don't know, 14 days or so? Well, we can't say that. Amazing that this is controversial, and yet randomly it is, because sexual identity takes precedence over everything up to and including biology and or the spread of disease. So public health emergency declared by the White House. I know that you feel much more safe now. Alrighty, coming up, crisis over Taiwan increases. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822. Or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready, or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So China is ratcheting up tensions over Taiwan in the aftermath of Nancy Pelosi's visit. The idea here was that she was going to demonstrate solidarity with Taiwan, and China immediately started conducting precision missile strikes in the waters off Taiwan's coast as part of military exercises, raising tensions in the region to their highest level in decades. According to the Associated Press, China earlier announced that military exercises by its Navy, Air Force, and other departments were underway in six zones surrounding Taiwan, which Beijing claims is its own territory to be annexed by force if necessary. Five of the missiles fired by China landed in Japan's exclusive economic zone off Hatoruma, an island far south of Japan's main islands, according to the Japanese defense minister. He said Japan protested the missile landings to China as, quote, serious threats to Japan's national security and the safety of the Japanese people. Japan's defense ministry speculated that four missiles flew directly over Taipei, the capital city, crossing over the mainland and hitting on the other side of Taiwan. Taiwan's defense ministry did not deny the claim, saying the flight path was, quote, outside the atmosphere, is not harmful to the vast area on the ground it flies over. So they're saying, well, yeah, it overflew the island, but it was very high up, so you wouldn't really even have noticed it. It would just seem like kind of a plane, right? I mean, it's very high. That said, the purpose there is to demonstrate, which they need to demonstrate because pure geography tells you, that Taiwan is under the missile umbrella of China. The drills were prompted by a visit to Taiwan by Nancy Pelosi. China fired long-range explosive projectiles. The Eastern Theater Command of the People's Liberation Army, the ruling Communist Party's military wing, said in a statement. It also said it carried out multiple conventional missile launches in three different areas in the eastern waters off of Taiwan. The Eastern Theater said, quote, all missiles hit the target accurately. U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby condemned the launches. He said China has chosen to overreact and use the speaker's visit as a pretext to increase provocative military action in and around the Taiwan Strait. We will not be deterred from operating in the seas and skies of the Western Pacific, consistent with international law, as we have for decades, supporting Taiwan and defending a free and open Indo-Pacific. Meanwhile, by the way, as we mentioned yesterday, the Biden administration is actively urging Congress not to pass more aid for Taiwan, which demonstrates, I think, the lack of willingness of this administration to face up to the challenge that is happening there right now. The Biden administration is unwilling to ship $4.6 billion in military technology to Taiwan, But we will send you an elderly woman who will tell you about solidarity. So that is very exciting stuff. Meanwhile, China is ratcheting up tensions. China has got to feel like we got to go soon. I mean, this is one of the big problems here, is that when you ratchet up the tensions with the rhetoric, while simultaneously ratcheting down the tensions with your actions, China sees that as weakness. It would be surprising if sometime in the next few years China did not at least attempt an invasion of Taiwan, given the fact that if Joe Biden were to not be president, that response would go very, very differently. Meanwhile, massive controversy breaking out in Russia. The WNBA's Brittany Griner was convicted Thursday in Russia of drug possession and smuggling and sentenced to 9 years behind bars in a politically charged case that could lead to a high-stakes prisoner exchange between Washington and Moscow, according to the Associated Press. The 31-year-old Griner, two-time U.S. Olympic champion, eight-time All-Star with the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury, listened with a blank expression as an interpreter translated the verdict by Judge Anna Sotnikova. Her lawyer said she was very upset. Griner was fined 1 million rubles, is about $17,000. Outside the court, the U.S. Embassy Chargé d'Affaires Elizabeth Rood called the outcome a miscarriage of justice. She's been detained since February 17th after the police said they found vape cartridges containing cannabis oil in her luggage upon landing in Moscow's airport. She was returning to Russia, where she has competed since 2014. The nine-year sentence was close to the maximum of 10 years Griner had faced under the charges. Most Russians possessing small quantities of drugs get at most 5 years in prison. Griner apologized to her family, teammates, and the Russian city of Yekaterinburg, where she plays in the WNBA offseason. Here she was apologizing yesterday.
I want to apologize to my teammates, my club, Gemka, the fans, and the city of DCAT for my mistake that I made and the embarrassment that I brought onto them. I want to also apologize to my parents, my siblings, my Phoenix Mercury organization back at home, the amazing women of the WNBA, and my amazing spouse back at home. I never meant to hurt anybody. I never meant to put in jeopardy the Russian population. I never meant to break any laws here. I made an honest mistake, and I hope that in your ruling that it doesn't end my life here.
Okay, so the idea that Russia is prosecuting her for bringing a fairly small amount of drugs into the country obviously raises political questions. Does this mean that she's a political prisoner in the same way that say, many other people in Russia are political prisoners? Seems doubtful to me. She did, in fact, violate drug law. She is not a person who's being put in jail because of her politics. The idea here from the United States, presumably, is that she is being held by the Russians as a sort of bargaining chip. But again, the reality of Brittany Griner as compared with some of the other Americans who are being detained is not quite the same thing. So Brittany Griner is not the only person who's being held in custody over what would be minor charges. There's another person whose name is Whelan, who has been arrested in Russia as well. He was arrested for the crime of apparently resisting arrest after some sort of drunken brawl with the cops. As Paul Whelan, he's been imprisoned in Russia on an espionage conviction, which again is, that one seems pretty wild. Like, I'm not sure what the case is for espionage. The Biden administration, nonetheless, has been talking about actually trading active arms dealers to the Russians to get back Griner and Whelan. That seems like a massive mistake. In trading away actively dangerous criminals for people who have committed minor drug crimes or resisting arrest crimes in Russia, the question is whether that's in America's interest. I mean, there's no question that Griner actually committed the crime. I mean, she said that she committed the crime. It doesn't mean that Russia isn't discriminating against her or attempting to use her as a political pawn, but it is to suggest that this is not quite the same thing as a pure political prisoner situation. Griner's agent Lindsay Kawaga-Kola said the sentence was severe by Russian legal standards and goes to prove what we have known all along. Brittany is being used as a political pawn. A conviction is usually needed before arranging a prisoner exchange and also allows Griner to apply for a pardon. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said last month the necessary judicial procedures must be completed before other steps can be taken. The U.S. State Department had earlier declared Griner to be wrongfully detained, a charge that Russia has sharply rejected. She said that she pled guilty, by the way, on the charges against her. She had no intention of breaking any Russian law. Griner described a confusing scene while being held at the airport, saying an interpreter provided by authorities translated only a fraction of what was being said to her and that officials told her to sign documents without explaining what they were. She said she was not informed of her rights. Her lawyers introduced evidence that Griner was using medical cannabis for chronic pain and injuries sustained during her career included a letter from her doctor. Griner said she knew the cannabis oil was outlawed in Russia and had not intended to break the law or plan to smuggle anything into Russia. But of course, she did smuggle something into Russia. Again, I mentioned here that the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, has said that Washington has offered to trade away a convicted Russian arms dealer named Viktor Bout for both Whelan and Griner. Russian media have speculated that Griner could be swapped for Bout, nicknamed the Merchant of Death. He is serving a 25-year sentence in the United States after being convicted of conspiracy to kill American citizens and provide aid to a terrorist organization. Russia has agitated for Bout's release for years. That seems like a bad swap to me. You're talking about trading away a guy who actually was convicted of terrorism and attempts to aid and abet terrorism for a basketball player who knew that she was bringing an illegal drug into Russia. Joe Biden put out a statement saying, quote, today, American citizen Brittany Griner received a prison sentence that is one more reminder of what the world already knew. Russia is wrongfully detaining Brittany. It's unacceptable. I call on Russia to release her immediately so she can be with her wife, loved ones, friends, and teammates. My administration will work to tirelessly and pursue every possible avenue to bring Brittany and Paul Whelan home safely as soon as possible. Now, here's the thing. There are actually people who are being detained in Russia for political purposes, and you don't know their names. You know Brittany Griner's name because she's a basketball player in a league that nobody watches. But you don't know some of the names of people like Vladimir Kara-Murza. He's a Washington Post contributing columnist who happens to be anti-Putin. According to the Washington Post editorial board, he was arrested in Moscow in April on a sham charge of disobeying the police, then indicted on a charge of public dissemination of knowingly false information about the Russian military. Now, Kara-Murza's lawyer says the authorities are preparing yet another bogus charge, this time for participating in a non-governmental organization deemed undesirable in Russia under a law first approved in 2015. Kara-Murza still hasn't been indicted on the charge. His lawyers said they know little more, but they know the method. In an endless carousel of arbitrary prosecutions, the same approach has been employed to unjustly imprison Alexei Navalny, Russia's most prominent opposition figure, and most recently, Ilya Yashin, an opposition leader accused of spreading false information about the military, reportedly for discussing on his YouTube channel the killing of civilians in Bucha, Ukraine, by Russian troops. On July 8th, a Moscow court sentenced local politician Alexei Goronov to 7 years in prison under the same provision. Goronov said in court, I'm convinced this war is the fastest route to dehumanization. When the line between good and evil is blurred, war is always violence and blood, torn bodies and severed limbs. It's always death. I do not accept this and reject it. Andrei Soldatov and Irina Borogan, Russian journalists who have written often in foreign affairs, say that the Federal Security Service, or SSB, has been turned into far more expansive arm of the increasingly ruthless state. There have been over 16,400 detentions of people taking a stance against the war in Ukraine since it began. But we're supposed to focus all of our ire on the detention of a basketball player who plays in Russia apparently every year and brought drugs into the country. And two things can be true at once. Russia is detaining this person for far too long. And also, why are we trading arms dealers for a person who commits drug crimes in Russia? This does not seem like the best available deal. Alrighty, meanwhile, California's Gavin Newsom is attempting to draw Hollywood back into the state. So Hollywood is sort of misnamed at this point. A huge amount of production happens outside of Hollywood because of union rules, because it's very expensive to produce material in California for years and years and years. There's been a lot of production happening in Europe, in Vancouver, in states like Georgia. Well, now Gavin Newsom in California is trying to draw people back to Hollywood with a double-pronged approach. That's more on this in just 1 second. First, I've had my Helix Sleep mattress for years. I love it. It's just great. And the reason I love it is because it's made just for me. It was super easy to order. We took that 2-minute sleep quiz. It came directly to us. We unboxed it, inflated right in front of us, popped it on the bed frame. Good to go. Helix Sleep has a quiz. It takes just 2 minutes to complete. It matches your body type and sleep preference to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everybody is unique. Helix knows that. They have several different mattress models to choose from. They've got soft, medium, firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. Mattress is great for spinal alignment, prevent morning aches and pains, even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. I took the Helix quiz, and I was matched with a particular mattress that is firm but really, really breathable. I tend to sleep on my stomach, so I need it firm, and also I tend to heat up at night. If you're looking for a mattress made just for you, go to helixsleep.com/ben, take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. 10-year warranty, try it out for 100 nights risk-free, so you got nothing to lose. For a limited time, Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. This is their best offer yet. Hurry on over to helixsleep.com/ben. Alrighty, coming up, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, is not doing an amazing job, but he's going to try and bully a bunch of Hollywood studios into putting their production back into Hollywood. How? Well, abortion, of course. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Shasta County citizens advocating respect and the Sikh Cultural and Education Center, in partnership with the California Department of Public Health, are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, August 5th from 2 until 7 p.m. at All Saints Episcopal Church at 2150 Benton Drive in Reading. All brands of COVID-19 vaccines and boosters will be available
for kids and adults. Kids must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients. No appointment needed. There will also be a team of medical professionals and multilingual interpreters on hand at this free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, August 5th from 2 until 7 p.m. at All Saints Episcopal Church at 2150 Benton Drive in Reading.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Única Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos. Providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience, it's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Única Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor at 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
9550.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So there's not a lot to recommend California as a place to do business. So Gavin Newsom has to use what he can. So he's using abortion. His state has become a place that people flee. I know because I fled it with my company. The taxes are too high. The homeless population is enormous. Quality of living has gone down. And so now he's just trying to posture in the hopes that eventually Democrats will allow him to run for president. So he put out a statement yesterday and he told the difference between California and Florida. Right? He's running ads in Florida trying to proclaim that California is the land of freedom. Free for abortion is pretty much what he means by that. California is the land of homelessness and abortion. So that's exciting stuff from California Governor Gavin Newsom. He put out a statement yesterday telling Hollywood to come home. He's offering a massive new tax break for Hollywood, something like $1.6 billion in tax breaks for the companies to start producing in Hollywood again. And the fact that Hollywood stopped producing in Hollywood is a pretty good demonstration that Hollywood is horribly run in terms of like the government. Governor Gavin Newsom put out a statement saying, Hollywood, your values, your choice. California is the best place in America to create. If that were true, then people wouldn't be fleeing it, you know, hand over fist. For 100 years, he says, we've been the home for storytelling and storytellers. Together, we built a creative community that includes unrivaled cast, crews, craftspeople, infrastructure, and technology, robust tax credits, and other incentives. The best culture. Together, you didn't do anything, dude. Like, nothing. Most importantly, we share your values, so now it's time to choose. Over the past several years, the legislatures of states like Georgia and Oklahoma have waged cruel assault on essential rights. Now, in the wake of Supreme Court's abhorrent decision overturning Roe v. Wade, those same states are quickly moving to strip reproductive freedom. As you know, their attacks are not incurring in secret. The harm they inflict is not the result of mere carelessness. On the contrary, they're carrying out these attacks brazenly and with the intent to cause pain in the communities they target, many of whom are essential to the success of your industry. Again, the emotivism of the left here is so astonishing. The idea here is that if you oppose the right-wing agenda, it's because the right wants to hurt you and is cruel and vicious. Not that they actually have arguments on abortion that disagree with your own. They're bad people. That's what Gavin Newsom is saying right there. Today, more than ever, he says, you have a responsibility to take stock of your values and those of your employees when doing business in those states. He's trying to values shame Hollywood. Good luck with that. That has not worked well in the past. California is a freedom state, says Gavin Newsom, who forced production to shut down in the state of California for a year. Freedom to tell your stories. Freedom to access the health services you need, including abortion. Freedom to love who you love and to ensure your LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign friends, family, and colleagues can proudly be who they are. Freedom from repressive state governments that want to tell you what to believe and threaten you with felonies if you don't toe their line. Does the man own a mirror? Repressive state governments that tell you what to believe? I mean, California is putting laws on the books that force your kindergartner to learn about gender theory, so I'm pretty sure that he is talking about California. Then he says, to those in power to make decisions about where to film, where to hire, where to open new offices, we in California say, walk the walk. Choose freedom. Choose creativity. Choose California. So, ironically, Gavin Newsom is now running against Hollywood. So the accusation was that Ron DeSantis was running against Disney when Disney decided to butt its nose into gender theory being taught to kindergartners. And Ron DeSantis is like, well, if you're going to do that, then, you know, there are a bunch of special tax breaks that you guys get. You don't really need to be involved in this issue. And that's just the way it works. Well, now Gavin Newsom is like, I'm going to cudgel you into bringing your business home, or I will attack you as insufficiently woke. Now, here's the problem. Now, Hollywood gets to play a game here that they care more about their woke morality than they do about money. But it turns out that that only applies when the economy is going gangbusters. When they start to experience business difficulties, they too are subject to the dictates of the market. It turns out half the American population does not agree with the wokeness of Hollywood, which is one reason you would imagine why Batgirl has now been scrapped. So Warner Brothers spent $90 million to make a movie of Batgirl. Batgirl in the comic books is Barbara Gordon, the daughter of Commissioner Gordon. She's paralyzed in the comics at a certain point, and then she's unparalyzed. In any case, she is Batgirl. And the movie was supposed to be sort of a woke bonanza, according to pretty much everybody who had seen it. The movie was apparently so bad that they just killed it. They were like, we're not even going to distribute it. We'll take the tax write-off. You know how bad a movie has to be to spend $90 million on it and then you don't even release it? That has to be a pretty damned terrible movie. Tom Leonard, writing for the Daily Mail, he says, Batgirl, an apparently woke big-budget film featuring a female version of the Caped Crusader, has been ignominiously scrapped, shocking the film world. Condemned as irredeemable by studio executives at Warner Brothers, it seems that not even a lengthy spell in the editing room could rescue it. Nor was it good enough to send straight to video, as used to be said of films too bad for the cinema. It may be the most expensive film ever made that will never see the light of day. The film had got as far as test screenings and was being slated for release in cinemas and on the U.S. streaming service HBO Max by the end of the year, but audience feedback was so awful that Warner Brothers has decided the reputational damage of releasing such a dud would be even worse than wasting the tens of millions of bucks it has already spent on it. It just didn't work, said an insider. Given the low standard of so much of the content on Netflix, Amazon Prime, and other streaming services, this represents a jaw-dropping failure. Some have alleged the film may have been scrapped rather than released for tax purposes. Warner Brothers can now claim Batgirl as a tax write-off, helping it recoup some of its costs elsewhere. But that doesn't really account for why the film was so bad in the first place. There are certainly strong clues to suggest Batgirl was only the latest in a long and disastrous line of Hollywood films that have prioritized politically correct values over entertainment. The star of the film was a little-known Afro-Latina singer-actress named Leslie Grace. That was a risk because she never really made a big movie outside of In the Heights, which was a massive commercial flop. Apparently, Michael Keaton was going to reprise his role as Batman. J.K. Simmons was going to be Batgirl's father, Commissioner Gordon. That's a pretty good cast. The film was directed by Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, a young Moroccan-Belgian's best known for the TV series Ms. Marvel, another sort of woke comic book. Batgirl's screenplay was by Christina Dodds Hodson, a British writer of ultra-feminist film Birds of Prey. Also, Batgirl featured a trans character, Barbara Gordon's flatmate, played by the trans actor Ivory Aquino. So apparently the film just sucked, and so they shelved it instead. So this is why the attempt to sort of shame everybody into coming back to Hollywood based on the morality of their ridiculous left-wing woke precepts, it's going to not happen, because eventually the market speaks. And Gavin Newsom, again, driving production back to California by telling people that if you love abortion, you have to do your production in California. That's not going to work. It turns out the Warner Brothers would rather produce someplace where they don't have to pay exorbitant tax rates and deal with the unions in quite the same way. Meanwhile, speaking of the economy, U.S. jobless claims rose last week to a near high for the year. You're starting to see the effects of those interest rates creeping up. This is a predictable effect. Okay, so this part was expected. When you increase the interest rates, then you're going to exacerbate recessionary forces. Everybody knows this. According to the Wall Street Journal, worker filings for unemployment benefits rose last week, holding close to the highest level of the year as the U.S. labor market showed several signs of cooling. Initial jobless claims, a proxy for layoffs, increased slightly to a seasonally adjusted 260,000 last week from a downwardly revised 254,000 the prior week. The total is close to the 2022 peak set earlier in July of 261,000 and above the 2019 pre-pandemic weekly average of 218,000 when the labor market also was strong. The modest pickup in claims suggests turnover may be increasing in weaker firms that are struggling with slowing growth, said Jefferies economists Thomas Simons and Anita Markowska. They added seasonal adjustments could be playing a role in the elevated jobless claims. Meanwhile, mortgage rates have dropped below 5% for the first time since April, which, again, is demonstrative of a cooling real estate market. According to the Wall Street Journal, mortgage rates dropped to their lowest level since April, offering a reprieve to prospective home buyers who've been hit this year with higher rates and surging prices. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.99% this week, down from 5.30% a week earlier, according to a survey by mortgage giant Freddie Mac. Mortgage rates and other measures of the cost of borrowing tend to rise and fall with expectations about the trajectory of the economy. Recently, fears the U.S. is heading into a downturn had lowered expectations of the pace of rate rises. Until the past year, rising mortgage rates have been a key factor driving up the cost of home buying this year, adding hundreds of dollars or more to buyers' monthly payments. Sales of previously owned homes fell for a fifth straight month in June, according to the most recent data from the National Association of Realtors. So you're starting to see a cool down in the real estate market. So here comes the rest of the recession. Right? We've already gotten the inflationary portion of the recession. We've already gotten wages being eaten up by the inflation. Now come the other effects, a cooling real estate market, an increase in joblessness. None of this is particularly shocking. Again, it was all expected. Meanwhile, the Bank of England abroad has pursued the biggest rate increase since 1995 as inflation soars. The rate increase to 1.75% from 1.25% was the largest since 1995. The move mirrors recent rate hikes by the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, reflecting fears the longer inflation is allowed to persist, the harder it will be to bring down. The Bank of England offered a particularly bleak outlook for the UK, saying the economy was poised to enter a recession that would last for five consecutive quarters, starting in the final 3 months of this year, a downturn as long as the one that followed the financial crisis, but not as deep. So they're now expecting, again, over a year of recession in the UK. It added that inflation would continue to rise well above its current four-decade high and that household income would fall sharply. So the UK is looking forward to a recession as well. It turns out that you can't spend endlessly during a pandemic and then not pay the price on the other end. And that is precisely what is happening right now. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Former President Trump hit the hustings in Waukesha, Wisconsin Friday night, rallying Republicans ahead of the November midterms.
We're just 3 months away from the most important midterm election in American history, and we need a landslide so big that the radical left cannot rig it or steal it.
At the Save America rally in Waukesha, Mr. Trump said they fought and won in Wisconsin before, and they'll do so again. Meanwhile, the former president is the keynote speaker closing out Saturday's session at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Dallas. And speaking of Wisconsin, Republicans Friday chose Milwaukee to host the 2024 National Convention, beating out Nashville in Deep Red, Tennessee. The decision was announced by the Republican National Committee's summer meeting. Indiana Friday became the first state in the nation to approve abortion restrictions since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Governor Eric Holcomb quickly signed a near-total ban on the procedure shortly after lawmakers approved it. Weather, the cause for the current round of travel woes up in the Northeast.
Thunderstorms on the East Coast are causing travel headaches for tens of thousands of airline passengers. Airlines canceled more than 1,100 flights in the United States by mid-afternoon Friday. The highest number of canceled flights were at three major airports in the New York City area, JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark, and at Reagan National Airport outside of Washington, D.C. According to the tracking service FlightAware, American Airlines scrubbed more than 200 flights or 6% of its schedule. Republic Airways, which operates smaller planes for American Eagle, Delta Connection, and United Express, also canceled more than 200 flights, about 20% of its schedule. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Pentagon rejected a request from the District of Columbia seeking National Guard assistance in what the mayor's called a growing humanitarian crisis, prompted by thousands of immigrants being bused to the city. More at townhall.com.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
New message.
Hey, girlfriend, it's Carol from jury duty. We never actually spoke, but I saw you ordered the same hoagie as me at lunch. What are the chances? Anywho, I heard you just got a boat. We should totally grab some hoagies and take it out for a spin.
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Do I want to feel the wind in my hair? Guilty as charged. Oh, seriously, let's ride on your boat.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
A firefighter says as many as 10 people are feared dead in a Pennsylvania house fire. Correspondent Mike Rossia has this report.
A volunteer firefighter who was among responders says as many as 10 people are dead after an early morning house fire in northeastern Pennsylvania, and the victims were his relatives. Neskepec volunteer firefighter Harold Baker told the Times Tribune of Scranton that the victims expected to eventually be found include his son, daughter, father-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, 3 grandchildren, and 2 other relatives. The fire was reported around 2:30 a.m. One person was found dead inside the house shortly after emergency responders arrived, and 2 other victims were found later in the morning. Authorities say the victims ranged in age from 6 to 70. I'm Mike Gracia.
Be sure to check out the latest breaking news. Read the best analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. To secede or not secede?
And that is part of the question on the November ballot for San Bernardino County residents as their county leaders consider saying goodbye to the state of California. During a special session on Wednesday, the Board of Supervisors voted 4-0 to ask residents whether they want the board to, quote, study all options to obtain its fair share of state and federal resources up to and including secession, end quote. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
2 crashes involving Teslas apparently running on autopilot, drawing scrutiny from federal regulators because they may not stop for motorcycles. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration sent investigation teams to 2 fatality crashes last month in which Teslas collided with bikes on freeways in the darkness and riders were killed. In both cases, the agency suspects Tesla's partially automated driver assist system was in use. More at townhall.com.
Your story begins here. Voted 2021 Best in the North State to hold a work event. Book your event and let Wind River Resort and Casino make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you'll be amazed. 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Some more news from overseas. Today, 6 months after she was arrested, Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9.5 years in a Russian prison. Now Biden will try to negotiate a deal to bring her home, and if that doesn't work, he's going to send John Stewart to get the job done for her. Come on. Come on. Thank God for John Stewart.
Yeah. You know, it's a proof of God. Again, the Democratic Party, John Stewart. At long last, they have proof of God. And he's a failed former comedian who lives on a farm. It's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. Quite mad, isn't the Democrat Party propaganda network at night? We'll get to some Democrat Party propaganda network by day as we go. Kind of funny stuff. Was it just one bus or more than one bus? Governor Abbott in Texas had had enough of the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, accusing him of sending busloads of illegal aliens to New York City and dropping them off because he wasn't doing that. But Eric Adams had that explained to him, and he kept saying over and over again that Texas is sending busloads of illegal aliens to New York City when they weren't. Regardless of the truth, regardless of the facts, if only we had a news media, I wonder what they would do. And so this morning in New York City, guess what happened? A busload of illegal aliens arrived in New York City, and they dropped them off in Manhattan, which is hilarious once again. Now, Democrats have no sense of humor, as we know, no sense of irony. We know that very well. And they certainly have very thin skins. They can dish it out, but they can't take it at all. And it's a fun thing, fun moment with Governor Greg Abbott in Texas saying, well, you know, if I'm going to be accused of this and condemned for it by a corrupt, stupid, lazy, ignorant news media, then what the hell? I'll send them a busload of illegal aliens. I hope they're covered with MS-13 tattoos. And he's got a funny thing about yesterday. He was on the television, Governor Greg Abbott was, with Jesse Waters on the Fox News Channel, and he gave a couple of numbers appropriately. And he's got some funny stuff. I'll share it with you. That's coming up. Now, there are a lot of other things as well. I was shocked, I say, to see in the Washington Post today their lead editorial. First, their editorial cartoon is, Griner in a cage. That's inside an onion dome in Red Square with her jersey on. And Joe Biden is now on the hook to get her out of this Russian jail because commies, you know, it's a shakedown. It's a scam. She's a hostage. And she is. And two other Americans as well are hostages. And she's being held for political reasons because this is what communists do, in case you know nothing about the 20th century, which so many Democrats seem to. There is a Russian criminal in a U.S. jail, and now Putin begins the shakedown, and he knows he's got weak sister in the White House. So Putin will extract whatever it is that he wants from Joe Biden and the Biden administration in exchange for effectively the hostages that he has. So we'll get into that a bit. Well, that's pretty much it. But we'll get into that. But the new unemployment numbers came out today, the jobs numbers, and they claim that there were 528,000 jobs added in the month of July, and that the unemployment rate has gone to 3.5%, which is really good. It leaves out a bunch of factors about people being paid to stay at home and people just dropping out of the workforce and things like that. But, you know, when you're a Democrat, you can do that. That's good stuff. Oh, we got Alex Jones in the news yesterday being kind of pleading with the jury to not impose. This has to do with Sandy Hook and the shooting, the murder of school children at Sandy Hook many years ago. And Alex Jones saying that it was a hoax and that they were actors. And the parents of one of the children murdered that day sued him. And yesterday, the jury, Alex Jones was saying, look, if you inflict a penalty of more than $2 million on me, then I'll be completely bankrupted. So naturally, the jury inflicted a penalty of more than $4 million. And this is the first of what will be a number of lawsuits similar to this one against Alex Jones. Sandy Hook was, of course, never a hoax. It was the massacre of children in a school and a terrible event. And saying it was a hoax was peculiar, I think, to say the least. But that happened, and we'll get into that a bit. Now, the Washington Post lead editorial, a failed fist bump. The revelations from OPEC's tiny increase in output, ? Mr. Biden's diplomacy didn't work. But I thought he was Mr. Diplomacy and Mr. Diplomatic, and he was going to show us all about it. And Trump was bad. And remember when there was no war in Europe and Russia wasn't taking American hostages and China wasn't threatening all-out war? And Gas was $2.10 a gallon. And crime in American cities was a fraction of what it is now. Remember, you know, it was just a couple of years ago when President Trump was living in the White House. But setting that aside, Joe Biden with his, oh, I'm the seasoned pro. I've been in Washington so long that, you know, there are very few buildings here older than me. And he was going to fix everything because, you know, like with the Obama-Biden administration, they bombed eight countries. They bombed Libya for 8 months until the corrupt leader there was murdered by his own people. Then he left a failed state in his wake. And Hillary Clinton celebrated that. We came, we saw, he died, ha, 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 like a Satan-worshipping loon. And, you know, they honestly, the Obama-Biden administration bombed more countries around the world than any administration since World War II. And during World War II, you had an excuse, you know, because what with the National Socialist German Workers' Party and the Empire of Japan, you know, kind of opened the door for that sort of thing. But the Obama-Biden administration bomb crazy, bomb, 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 bomb everybody except Iran, which they fund different through with tens of billions of dollars, the world's number one state sponsor of terrorism. Oh, sure, definitely spin centrifuges and enrich uranium to your heart's delight and continue to advance your ballistic missile program. Speaking of which, the commies in China, and I mentioned this yesterday, the New York Times noticed last week, that the emerging axis in the world is Putin's Russia, Xi Jinping's China. They're both commies, by the way. The Cold War didn't end. It's back. And Iran. See, the three axis countries. Don't forget about North Korea, but they left out North Korea in the New York Times. You've got Russia, Putin, China, Xi Jinping, Iran, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and of course, in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, who inherited the country from his dad, who also inherited the country from his dad, who was given the country by Joseph Stalin. So we got commies all over the place, and, gosh, we got a lot of them in our backyard, too, don't we? We got them all over the Democrat Party and in the media, and they don't call themselves. So they're socialists, and they're nice liberals, and they'll kill everyone before they're done. And destroy our democracy. They're the destroyers of our democracy. That was in the Washington Post yesterday for the all Republicans are a danger to our democracy. This is their everything is apocalyptic with these apocalyptic people. You know, the weather is apocalyptic. They're not really much for a bright future, are they? No, they're not. They're not selling a bright future for America or for the world or for humankind. They're selling apocalypse. You know, the 9-year-old daughter of the Democrat congresswoman from California who believes the world is on fire and we're all going to die soon. And how does that make you feel? Good response from mom. Angry. Angry? You're 9 years old. Play with dolls, for God's sake. Get an easy bake oven. Make cookies. Calm down. But apocalypse now, apocalypse then. Little apocalypse goes a long way. So we've got a lot of the crazy. But I do want to share this Washington Post editorial with you because it's something. It's quite unexpected. It's quite surprising. And they point out that Joe Biden went and sucked up to, you know, the guy that he called. What did he call him? Called him terrible names, you know, the butcher and the murderer, Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, and in Saudi Arabia. Then he went there and did the fist bump because they thought that would look less personal than a handshake. And it was all fake, all staged for cameras. And then everybody decided that it seemed more intimate, if you will, more personal, more friendly to do the fist bump than a good old-fashioned handshake would have been. And then he pleaded with him and begged with him to increase output. And they increased output by you know, by a spit. It was spit in the ocean. And even the Washington Post has failed. It's the Chris Plant rule. The Washington Post, it's too humiliating to carry this bucket of swill for the Democrats, so they had to go ahead and tell the truth. Only when painted into a corner, when forced to, when it's too embarrassing to do anything other than tell the truth, then they finally get around to telling the truth. So, remarkable stuff. And, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, this is a funny one. Joe Biden and the Democrats' latest big spending bill, which won't reduce inflation, even though it's called the Inflation Reduction Act. And they pulled all of the passages out of the bill that would have taxed the rich, because it turns out the Democrat Party is the party of the rich, and they lie all the time. Two things that go together very well in the Democrat Party. I'm telling you, so we got that. And Bernie Sanders is still trying to torpedo this whole thing because he wants to take out anything. He says that are subsidies for big oil because, you know, they're anti-energy, they're anti-functional economy because of the apocalypse thing. They got the Apocalypse Now thing going with the weather. Kooky. Speaking of which, we had great thunderstorms last night roll through D.C. My brother was over visiting from Chicago, was over at our place, and we have a great perch for thunderstorms and for storms rolling in. And boy, it was pretty good stuff. In fact, there were four people struck by lightning. Four human beings were struck by lightning in Lafayette Park, right across from the White House. Missed Joe Biden by this much. I'm holding my index finger 1 inch over my thumb with my right hand. Missed the White House. It's across the street. It's not like it was in the front yard of the White House, but it's as close as you can get without being in the front yard of the White House. Lafayette Park, four people struck by lightning, according to my friend Vito Maggiolo at the D.C. Fire and Rescue, who gave the press briefing on this last night. I used to work with Vito at CNN for a long time. Vito kind of was key guy on the assignment desk, and now he's with Fire and Rescue in D.C., and he gave the briefing on this, and he told people not to hide under trees during thunderstorms because, you know, that's where lightning tends to strike. Of course, it's raining. It was raining house pets. So they, Vito Maggiolo.
Go indoors, or you should go to a safe place. Trees, of course, are not safe places. Anybody who goes to seek shelter under a tree, that's a very dangerous place to be.
It's a very dangerous place to be. That's Vito from the Bronx, Vito Maggiolo. And I can't give you any of his key phrases, his signature phrases, because I think they'd all violate FCC regulations. But he's a colorful person. And four people struck, and they were injured critically, and I think they're still in critical condition in the hospital. And the U.S. Park Police and the Uniform Division of the Secret Service, you know, terrible police that the Democrats hate so much, immediately rushed to the aid of the people struck by lightning right across from the White House.
Their agents, their officers, witnessed this lightning strike and immediately began to render aid to the four victims, which is very critical in helping with survivability.
And helping with survivability. See, there you go. And but an amazing thing. You don't normally have four people struck by lightning when in front of the White House, across from the White House. Crazy. We've got tons of stuff. We got a lot of monkeypox for you, too. There's a lot of monkeypox news in San Francisco. Even the Washington Post is kind of making fun of the San Francisco declaring a state of emergency for monkeypox and then putting out flyers to attend the Gay Kink Festival that is coming up, because that makes a lot of sense. And so we got that going for you. Crazy stuff. D.C. library police officer shot in a D.C. library by a police officer during training, a training exercise, because crazy. And the District of Columbia acts as virus spreads, as monkeypox cases among homeless. Among the homeless, what are they having, like a soup kitchen and abandoned cars? What's going on there? We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care. And that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network, so Yeah, really. You could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
What would you do with extra money this summer? Fill the tank? How about a vacation? During Staples Fuel Your Summer Sweeps, a Staples Rewards member could win one of five $5,000 Visa gift cards to use for, or maybe... Every $50 spent in store automatically earns you an entry. Not a rewards member? Join today and enter Staples Fuel Your Summer Sweeps. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of the 50 U.S. and D.C. 18 and older. Ends 8/6. Visit staplesconnect.com/fuelyoursummersweeps for complete rules and eligibility.
This is a court-ordered notice. If you were subject to the data breaches of the United States Office of Personnel Management and you experienced an out-of-pocket loss after the breaches, you could be eligible for a payment from a class action settlement. To see if you're eligible, go to opmdatabreach.com or call 1-855-917-3567. That's opmdatabreach.com or call 1-855-917-3567.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you can enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bath remodel from the most trusted brand name in the business, Jacuzzi. For a virtual or in-home appointment, call 800-826-9895. That's 800-826-9895. 800-826-9895.
What if you could refinance your mortgage without adding years to your loan, potentially saving up to $1,000 a month? Believe it or not, it's possible when you call American Financing, America's home for home loans. Learn about custom loans that fit your budget better without paying upfront or hidden fees. Call 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
If you're feeling dizzy or off balance, you're not alone. 35% of adults over 40 in the U.S. have a problem with their inner ear, and many conditions go undiagnosed and untreated. But there's hope. For more information, call 800-837-8428 or visit liferebalanced.org and discover a Life Rebalanced. That's 800-837-8428 or liferebalanced.org, sponsored by the Vestibular Disorders Association.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Well, the latest report, the update out of the lightning strike in Lafayette Park across from the White House last night during our big storm. Oops. Two of the four people have died. I hit the wrong button there. Two of the four people have died. A couple visiting from Wisconsin were among the four people struck in Lafayette Park on Thursday night. And according to multiple reports now, two of the victims from Wisconsin have died in the lightning strike. Two adult males, two adult females were struck by lightning. And now Lord, Washington, Joe Biden, the Biden presidency. Man, for crying out loud. I'm telling you. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Maryland, the Washington Post today is excited to announce that soon Montgomery County will be able to say who won the elections that were held weeks ago now. And they're excited to announce that three of them may be women, because it's always about identity politics and not the quality of the individual. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to James calling from Memphis, Tennessee. James, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, good morning, Chris. How are you, sir?
Very well. What do you know, huh?
Well, I just wanted to give you an update about what's going on in Memphis. We've recently had an election for our DA where Amy Weinrich was up against good old lefty Steve Mulroy. I found very interesting a series of text messages that went out to Memphians last night from the rapper Common. And I just want to read to you the text message that I got. It says, "Peace, this is Common. I'm supporting Steve Mulroy for district attorney because he'll bring a new day for justice to Shelby County." So I went to his Twitter feed and looked at his Twitter feed, and there's the exact same message on his Twitter feed. Referencing his Twitter feed, I go back. There's no other mentions of Memphis in there, so I'm curious if you could help me understand why Common would be texting me for support of a DA in a city that he has no interest in whatsoever, Chris Plant. Help me understand that.
Well, it's, they're all part of the Democrat Party's propaganda apparatus, and they tap them and they say, we need you to send out a tweet, and because we're trying to drum up the black vote in Memphis to elect the pro-criminal, anti-civilization, left-wing prosecutor, so that criminals may roam free, so that the murder rate will skyrocket, carjackings, lootings, robberies will skyrocket, because, you know, the Democrat Party is doing their part to make the United States of America first a second world country, and then shortly thereafter a third world country. They're going to break the back of our economy. They're handing the keys to Russia and China and Iran. You know, Democrats.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Join the Cascade Theater for an energy-packed show with Trombone Shorty at Orleans Avenue on August 6th. Packed with funk, soul, R&B, and psychedelic rock, Trombone Shorty in Orleans Avenue is sure to provide an exhilarating evening packed with a strong rhythm section, hip-hop beats, and bright flashes of brass with hard rock energy. Don't miss this fun night with Trombone Shorty at the Cascade Theater on August 6th. Tickets available at CascadeTheater.org or 243-8877.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What does great pizza and ice cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Yeah, I tell you, Joe Biden, Brittany Griner and two other Americans in Russian prisons. And you think he's going to do anything to get him out? I think that Putin will just let him twist in the wind and look like a fool because Putin doesn't care about human life, including the Russian criminal in American jail. But he will use the set of circumstances to humiliate Joe Biden and, by extension, humiliate the United States. And Brittany Griner, who got nine and a half years in prison. We got another American who's in a Russian prison doing hard labor in a Russian prison. Somebody asked me yesterday, Brittany Griner going to, in Russia, a men's prison or a women's prison? And I said, well, Gulag X. It's Gulag X because, you think in Russia they have gender-neutral prison. And what do you think they're doing about gender in Russia? You think they have pronouns, giving out their pronouns in fifth grade in Russia? Banana and rock. But this is another one on Biden's plate now. But watch the news media sweep it under the rug for him. Because if it's not getting done, they'll just stop talking about it, the news media. If he secures the release and Putin gets everything he wants, then they'll praise Biden for brilliant statesmanship. But it'll be a complete loser for the United States. It's, I was reminded this morning talking to my best girl about Obama's trade of the Trader Bo Bergdahl in exchange for five of the top leadership of the Taliban in exchange. Because this is the kind of negotiating these people, these Democrats, who don't care for our nation. It's the kind of negotiations that you should expect from them. Now, back to this Washington Post thing, and there are a lot to get to, as always. We got monkeypox up the yin-yang, don't we? We got it up the yin-yang? I think we got monkeypox, stories, not the virus itself. But, well, we'll get back to that. And San Francisco with the Buggery Fest, which will go forward, even though they've declared a state of emergency. In the United States of America, the Biden administration declared a state of emergency nationwide for monkeypox yesterday. That's based largely on the people they hang out with, I think, primarily. But let me get back to the Washington Post telling a little tiny thimble full of the truth here. A failed fist bump is the headline of their lead editorial. The revelation from OPEC's tiny increase in output, Mr. Biden's diplomacy didn't work. It wasn't diplomacy. It was just more humiliation. They love the, remember Barack Obama went on the humiliation tour? They go around and they apologize to everybody in the world tour, the America's the bad guy tour, to all these countries that we've liberated again and again from totalitarianism. But never mind that. The Washington Post types on behalf of their party, the Democrat Party. It's been a little more than 2 weeks since President Biden greeted Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia with a fist bump while visiting Jeddah. A key purpose of Mr. Biden's trip, which constituted a face-losing reversal of his previous efforts to isolate the brutal Saudi regime, was to get more oil production from the kingdom. Now, they lied to us about that repeatedly, remember, and Joe Biden himself lied, and Karine Jean-Pierre lied, that it's not about getting them to pump more oil. It's not about pumping. Now the Washington Post just says it like it's true, because it was true all along, even when they were lying about it. And the Washington Post was lying about it, too, because they were carrying that water for them. And gas price relief for U.S. motorists. We're motorists now. Usually they just say workers, because, you know, the Sovietization of the English language in America by the Democrats. MBS, as the Saudi leader is known, has just responded with his own gesture, an upraised middle finger. The flip-off wasn't literal, to be sure. Figuratively, though, the description fits. Wednesday's announcement that the global oil cartel, Saudi Arabia leads, will boost monthly production by a mere 100,000 barrels, or 0.1% of global demand for crude. So they're saying that Mohammed bin Salman, the fist bump, was met with a flip-off. You know, with I just did a, because I'm on the radio, I can do that. I just went like that because I'm talking about it. But so this is what we get from Saudi Arabia when Joe Biden goes over there, koofy in hand, to grovel and snivel and beg and ask, because he has single-handedly, at the behest of the radical left wing of the extremist Democrat Party, which is here to destroy democracy worldwide, not just here in the United States. Got to dial it up a little bit, you know, the rhetoric from the Washington Post yesterday. Just one notch, though. As a diplomatic exercise, Mr. Biden's elaborate legitimacy-conferring photo op with MBS was an especially regrettable example of political expediency. By expediency, they mean groveling and sniveling and pandering and hypocrisy and flip-flopping. But they use the word expediency because they're Democrat shills, which could have been redeemed in part only if the president had accomplished offsetting U.S. goals. Progress on human rights, even in a limited form of political prisoner releases, would have counted. Well, they never do that. You know, Obama went to Cuba and hanging out with Castro. And did he secure anything? He didn't secure the release of political prisoners. Did they hand over wanted criminals, cop killer terrorists that had been given safe haven in Cuba by the communists there? No, Barack Obama got nothing from the Cubans. And the media praised him. And he insisted on posing for a picture in front of a building-sized mural of Che Guevara with the communist leaders, where Barack Obama never looked so proud. Remember that picture? He actually stood erect, if you will, with his chin jutting out like, a sculpture of Vladimir Lenin inside the Kremlin. I was going through old pictures the other day. I found some pictures of myself at the Kremlin and inside the Kremlin. When I was looking for some other pictures. And I found a picture of the freight ship I worked on when I was 17 years old in the Gulf of Mexico. It's my screensaver on my iPad now, because I hadn't seen the picture in years. But never mind that. Back to the Washington Post telling the truth about Joe Biden's completely failed trip. Now, I told you all this at the time, that he didn't secure anything, any oil, any human rights, any release of anything, nothing good. And he made a clown of himself. And now, weeks later, the Washington Post is forced to admit it because, you know, eventually the truth sometimes seeps in through their thick skulls. Now it's clear the president will have little more than a rounding error's worth of additional crude oil supply to show for his efforts economically. Global oil prices will remain correspondingly elevated, which has added disadvantage, albeit at the margins, of helping Russia, which works with Saudi Arabia to coordinate exports. See, so who are the winners here? The Mohammed bin Salman, who he called, you know, the butcher of something, he called him all kinds of names. And then he goes over there and hugs him and kisses and rubs his beard and probably smelling his children and doing all kinds of weird Joe Biden stuff. And he gets nothing, a rounding error, and he gets flipped off. And this is the Washington Post, mind you, typing this stuff. They must feel humiliated. The message from Riyadh could not be clearer. MBS is in no mood to do Mr. Biden any favors in his hour of political need before the November elections. You know, it's not really all just about Joe Biden necessarily, but it's true that he's a complete failure. They're trying to lay down cover smoke well in advance of the November midterm elections. Well, there are a lot of reasons the Democrats lost. You know, Mohammed bin Salman didn't do Joe Biden any favors when he went over and groveled and sniveled. They should be using the words groveled and sniveled, don't you think? And that would be appropriate. No surprise there, they type. MBS got along well with Republican Donald Trump and might be trying to do his part for the GOP's prospects. This is the narrative of the far radical left that will turn your boys into girls and your girls into boys and then lie to you about it. And butcher, you know, 40% of the black population, take him off the playing field. So this is the Washington Post. Yeah, that's what's going on. He's trying to do the Republicans a favor. That's it. And so is Putin. Remember, this is a variation on the Russian collusion narrative. That was a big lie. It's the Joseph Goebbels big lie that the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, carried every day and on cable every hour of every day for years. And it was all a lie. And the Mueller investigation, doddering dimwit, and nothing there. And then they pretend, well, there was an email from somebody. Well, somebody gave him polling material. Well, yeah, sure. They gave a lot more to the New York Times, but pay no attention to that. And even though ordinary people in the United States and Europe are suffering from energy disruptions brought on in part by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, they stick to the talking points very, very strictly, don't they? And what has Joe Biden done about that? Has he opened up pipelines in the United States? Has he opened up offshore real estate? Has he lifted... you know, it's like he's imposed sanctions on us, because that's what he's done. He's choked the life out of our oil and gas industry, and he started on day one shutting down pipelines. And those are great union jobs, too, by the way. But, you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats have imposed sanctions on us that have damaged us more than any sanctions imposed on Russia have damaged Russia, have hurt Russia. Because that's your Democrat Party. They're not on our side. You want to talk about Russian collusion, for the love of Mike? Can you say it for the love of Mike? I think you can. That reminds me of monkeypox again, because we'll get to the monkeypox thing, too. So, yeah, sure. He's trying to help the Republicans. That's what's going on. It's not that Joe Biden failed. It's that there's, you know, collusion. There's a secret. This is a conspiracy theory. Another one that the Washington Post is spreading, right? And anybody, maybe we should ask Ukraine. We should get Hunter Biden involved. I understand he's got a lot of experience with Ukrainian oil and gas companies and, trade with China. The Ukraine deal with grain to China. Hunter Biden was involved in that. And the Washington Post doesn't cover that because they're fluffers. Send them chapstick. They honestly, these people. To be sure, this constitutes a snub not only of Mr. Biden, but also Britain's conservative government, whose erstwhile leader, Boris Johnson, preceded the president in Riyadh, and of French President Emmanuel Macron. Oh, isn't he a liberal? Isn't he? Because they got conservative over here and Republicans. But then they leave out the liberal. Oh, speaking of which, speaking of the hypocrisy of it all, did you see Justin Trudeau? Have you seen the Justin Trudeau story? He arrived. Where did he arrive? In Costa Rica. And how did he get there? Well, in a private jet. Why would that be a problem? Well, because he's lecturing everybody else about, and it's just the typical. They're all exactly the same. They really are. It's the ruling class syndrome that they're suffering from here. Justin Trudeau is spending 2 weeks in Costa Rica, and he arrived on a private jet, because he's big president guy, and got off not wearing a mask, and nobody's wearing a mask, because were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. And here's the news media, the Washington Post, writing about it, and you notice how Boris Johnson is conservative, but Justin Trudeau isn't liberal. Little things. You just, one grain of sand at a time, just bit by bit, they lower our standards, honestly. And they couldn't be bigger hypocrites if their goal were to become bigger hypocrites. 2 week Costa Rica vacation, big airliner sized private jet just for him and his entourage. He's waving like he's the president of the United States. Come on, it's Canada. It's like, being the governor of New Hampshire. Get over yourself. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Matt calling from Rockville, Maryland. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Happy Friday, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Matt.
Just how the media downplayed the dangerousness of Qasem Soleimani when Trump had him killed. I feel like they're going to do the exact same thing, downplaying the dangerousness of the Merchant of Death when they try to trade him for Brittany Griner and turn him into a petty felon just so that the White House can avoid criticism.
Well, sure, that will be their role. Their role will be to make it look like a really good deal, no matter how bad a deal it is. When they handed over the five Taliban leaders to Afghanistan in exchange for Bo Bergdahl, who deserted, the news media said, "Hey, this is great. This is the greatest thing ever, isn't it?" And this guy, Victor Bout, the Merchant of Death, a serious criminal, is apparently in the front row to be released by, he's in an American prison, and Putin may want him back, and if he does, he'll get him back with the just snap of his fingers, right? Because, you don't trust Biden to cut a good deal, and you don't trust the media to tell us the truth about it, Matt?
Well, it's the third term of the Obama administration, and Chris, the people who we traded for Bo Bergdahl, they pinky promised not to become terrorists again.
That's right.
They pinky promised. They said that they weren't going to do it, and wasn't it within 2 months they had said at least four of the five were back serving with Al-Qaeda?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, they're centering on the Taliban and hosting Al-Qaeda. We just saw, allegedly, the head of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, with the carbuncle on his head, being chopped up in a fun ninja missile strike, allegedly. We can't confirm anything because Joe Biden left a country the size of Texas to the troglodytes from hell so they can plot against civilization unimpeded by us. And, yeah, sure. Matt, ye have little faith. But you know what? Your lack of faith is well placed.
Have a good Friday, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. It's all true, of course. Putin will get what he wants. And he took, make no mistake, Brittany Griner hostage. This is a crime that she admitted to that you might get 20 minutes in jail for. She's already been in jail for how long now? For some time. And, you know, but he's 9 years, nine plus years in a Russian prison. This is a shakedown, right? It's extortion. He's holding hostages. He's going to get whatever he wants from Biden. He will humiliate the United States in the process. Joe Biden will be protected by the media. This is how this plays out. You know, I've seen this movie before. The playbook is plain to see. And the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, you know, he's not exactly Chuck Norris either, is he? Now, this guy, school children would take him on. We're at 888-630-9625.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I'll second-guess dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
What would you do with extra money this summer? Fill the tank? How about a vacation? During Staples Fuel Your Summer Sweeps, a Staples Rewards member could win one of five $5,000 Visa gift cards to use for, or maybe... Every $50 spent in store automatically earns you an entry. Not a rewards member? Join today and enter Staples Fuel Your Summer Sweeps. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of the 50 U.S. and D.C. 18 and older. Ends 8-6. Visit staplesconnect.com/fuelyoursummersweeps for complete rules and eligibility.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Eve Tropaul, she's author of a book called Hungry.
Identifying yourself by what you don't eat on its surface can seem silly. A lot of these behaviors are driven by things like loneliness. Food on social media is a social currency, but also a way to facilitate connection.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
American Financing is the lender you want on your side when it comes to buying a home. Whether you're looking for a starter home or you're ready for something bigger, they've got you covered. From custom home loans to fast closings and everything in between, you can always expect the best deal. Just call 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
At Doctors Without Borders, we believe the best medical care knows no boundaries. So when our streets emptied and you sheltered in place, we went to work. The pandemic overwhelmed even the most advanced healthcare systems in the world and made existing humanitarian crises worse. This virus knows no borders, but neither do we. We responded to the pandemic around the world, including right here in the United States. From the Navajo Nation to Southwest Florida to New York City, our teams raced to train health workers and vaccinate those in need. And we couldn't have done this work without our 6 million supporters who stepped up in this time of crisis. Independent and impartial, we bear witness to suffering and respond by delivering medical care where it's needed most. We are Doctors Without Borders.
DeSantis in Florida has suspended a sentence. A prosecutor, a radical left-wing, anti-democratic prosecutor, who's pro-crime and pro-criminal, you know, a Democrat, suspended this guy, Andrew Warren, because he has vowed not to enforce the laws of the state of Florida. And now this guy, Andrew Warren, is naturally a hero of the news media. And he's saying he's just going to keep coming to work anyway. He's not going to recognize the suspension by the governor. And, you know, it's like George Costanza. He's just going to keep going to work even though he doesn't have a job there anymore. We have very little time. Let's go to Dave in Abingdon, Maryland. Dave, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to get you in here before the hour was out.
Well, I appreciate it, Mr. Plain. How are you today?
Very, very well.
Okay, I just got off the phone with our U.S. Senator Cardin.
Yeah.
And I would like to, and of course, right now I can't find his phone. Here it is. I'd like to let your audience know his phone number at Capitol Hill so that they can call him and plead him not to vote for this tax increase bill tomorrow.
We're running out of time. It's 202-224-4524. 4524, 202-224. Those are all the Senate numbers. 225 are the House of Representatives numbers. Listen, he's going to vote for it because he's a party loyalist. And, you know, you could waterboard him. You could hit him with fire hoses and Bull Connor's attack dogs. And he'd still vote for it because he's a party loyalist.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.